Talk Show.
Recorded live.
Thank you, sir. And I just want to start, before I pitch it out to the group, I want to start with the number one, you know, how does emotional cheating start? Most people don't plan to be emotionally unfaithful. Let's get that squared away. That's square one. And emotional cheating starts when you casually chat with female coworkers or women that you see regularly, and it grows into more than just friends. You might go for lunch, dinner, take business trips, or make special efforts to see the woman whom you're getting attached. But you think about your female friend more and more until it becomes a definite emotional bond. And those are signs of emotional cheating. And, you know, let me tell y'all my story. You know, and for those that don't know, I've been married one time to the same woman for 10 years. And I got married young. I was married at 21. And 1 month into my marriage, started off an emotional affair with a young lady, a coworker. And, you know, I've never had a physical affair on my wife, and my wife knows about this emotional affair. But literally 1 month into my marriage, I had an emotional affair. And what it was, you know, attractive young lady, coworker. And, you know, essentially, you know, we talked, you know, and it came about where it was a get together per se, and all of my coworkers were getting to, it was like a group gathering. It wasn't, you know, it was females, males. You know, it was you know, it was just, you know, all love or whatever. So, but anyway, long story short, it was supposed to be about 10 individuals, and it only ended up being six, and it ended up looking like almost a triple date. And essentially, this, you know, this woman, you know, that you know, I've been talking to and trying to get to know a little bit better, you know, she was there, and I knew she was going to be there, so I purposely did not invite my wife to go, you know, on this event, because previously when I asked her to go, you know, with you know, my coworkers to hang out, she would always say no. So then in turn, I would always say no. But in this instance, this time, I was like, you know what, I'm not even going to ask her. And, you know, what progressed was, it was basically an emotional affair. And, you know, never, you know, I don't even know if the woman, you know, knew, you know, that I was, you know, into or whatever. But, you know, I never made an advance on her or anything like that. But I definitely, you know, was caught up, you know, with chatting with her, you know, going out of my way to see her, to talk to her, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, what happened eventually, just to close this up, but eventually, you know, I realized, I was like, yo, this is not cool because I'm married. And, you know, that night that I went out, I came back at like 2 in the morning, and my wife still gives me grief, you know, about that 10 years later, because, you know, she knew what was up, she knew what was going on, and for me not to invite her and then, you know, step into the house at 2 in the morning, I mean, this is why she still gives me grief over that. But, you know, I experienced it firsthand, fellas, and, you know, I just want to share that. But, I just pitch it out to the group, you know, is anybody dealing with the emotional infidelity or have dealt with it?
And don't say your name when you say that.
Yeah. So just me, Tony, I guess.
Well, it's probably not just you, but that's a loaded question.
Yeah.
On a, you know,
it's called fear factor.
Exactly.
That's
a loaded question.
Fear factor.
I feel like grease the tracks for y'all, you know.
Yeah. We slipped on and slipped right off of them tracks.
and the reason why it's so loaded, man, because like you said, you have anyone can listen in on your call, so.
Exactly.
So if you touch yourself up, if you want to, then go
ahead. Yeah, that's why I said from the onset, my wife knows the story, so I'm not telling, you know, I'd never tell anything on here that she doesn't know, you know, because that would totally not be cool. But, you know, I just, you know, I'm just being honest, fellas. You know, I was 1 month into my marriage, and I'm, you know, I'm caught up, you know, with a young, I basically, you know, just forgot I was married, you know, because I was so young. And that's not an excuse, but, you know, that's what happened.
I'll give you a
point. Well, I wouldn't even say young would be part of it. I think that men sometimes seek other women to explain an emotional issue that they may be having other than going to a friend. And sometimes those women will take that to heart, and next thing you know, those glossy eyes start becoming more attractive every time you talk a little more. You see that a lot with co-workers.
Well, I'll tell you, I went through that same exact thing, and how many years ago? 10 years ago or so. And that emotional affair turned into a physical affair, and was the beginning of the downfall of my marriage. So emotional affairs, a lot of times, unlike the gentleman who just talked, if they're not ended, they get deeper and deeper. And just like you gave an example, Rodney, about that, you know, Angelique Jolie or whoever, you know, a lot of times it can turn into a physical thing. And usually, at least in my case, it started as quote-unquote innocent flirting, you know, and then you start to, like you said, go out of your way to look for this person, you know, and then go out of your way to spend time and go out of your way to have a longer lunch. And then, you know, one thing leads to the next, and you're in the basement for a year.
Yeah,
true. Yeah, man, that is true. That's how I started. I know personally for myself, when I think back to when I was dating, that emotional stuff will get you hemmed up. I mean, you'll be out there, you're having a conversation with somebody, talking about different things, and a lot of times it's just, you know, maybe just looking for that comfort in ear, that validation of different things that are going on in your life, and being able to really just talk about things. And at first, you know, you just think, oh, this is just an outside party that's listening to what's going on, you know, and that's pretty much it. But before you know it, just like was said, you know, in my case, I was creating fake conferences flying across the country.
Wow.
You know, I was on cruises, you know, and making up all types of stuff, you know, and the only thing that got me was the fact that I got caught. But I honestly don't know if I would have been able to pull out and just been able to stop it myself, because, you know, the conversations, the things that were occurring, the things we were talking about, and it wasn't that I didn't care about this person that I was with. It was just that when you have somebody that legitimately is just into you and into what's going on or what you're sharing and doesn't necessarily know about all of the things that, I guess, create the chaos or some of the turmoil or obstacles and stuff in your immediate situation, because we all know that the grass always looks greener on the other side, but when you get over there, as it's been said on this call, it's still dirt underneath that grass. You know, I think that's one of the tightest quotes I've heard on this call the whole time.
It's still dirt underneath that grass.
I like that. That's hot. But yeah, I was creating fake conferences, you know, and getting on planes and traveling and doing all types of stuff, being in hotel rooms and this, that, and the other. But that emotional piece is huge, though, you know, because I think a lot of times people like to think that, yeah, it's usually the physical, you can go after the physical. But I remember when it started, it was just a conversation at a conference. And it was just, you know, I met this person through one of my boys there, and we were just all just sitting around. And before I knew it, you know, I met this person at a conference, we exchanged business cards, whatever, and then call was made, and we were talking about some stuff with business, and then that led to something else, and before I knew it, we were at another conference, and then I'm sitting down at the bar for a happy hour after the conference, we talking and doing this, and nothing happened, like, for, I would say, maybe the first 5-6 months, but then, for one reason or another, you know, I'm up in Maryland, I'm going to visit, do something, and before I know it, I'm in the hotel room, and bam,
wow,
hummed up. And it got to the point where, and it was so crazy, because I remember it vividly, being in this point and saying, now if I do this, I'm crossing this line. I need to pull out. I need to step back. I need to fall back. I need to get up now. But I didn't have the strength. I legitimately did not have the strength. And it's one of those things that after I got caught and I had to talk about it, I mean, I just was honest. I was like, I did not have the strength to get up. Because I invested so much time into it. And it wasn't that I was like, oh, I'm going to finish this off, I'm going to seal the deal.
it was, I don't know, like, I really felt connected with this person. And that was the thing, I think, when I did get caught, that really hit home with me, because the woman I was with, she said, you know, for you to do something like this, it's bigger than physical, because I know you can get the physical, the things with us were working fine, everything was good. You were emotionally connected with this person, and that hurts me more than anything else.
Wow. It works.
I can agree with that 100%, because I remember that same exact moment, and you know, that little voice says, you know, don't do that. And
yep.
There's something inside that goes, well, I can still control this. That's just a lot
yep.
of the fit of hell, because I'm going to tell you what, man, you start thinking with the wrong head, it's all she wrote.
Yeah. Right about that.
I think ultimately what it comes down to is that, you know, communication with the people that we're with, and if we don't feel as if that person is a friend, to the degree that we could talk to them about anything, because some women sometimes have a tendency of being real critical about, you know, the things we say. So we find ourselves venturing out into things and talking to others about things that we cannot talk to them about. So we kind of set ourselves up.
Now, see, Brian, my situation wasn't even that. I wasn't having issues at home.
Really?
Yeah, I wasn't having issues at home.
Mm-hmm.
As I examined it, there was a piece missing inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't know it at the time.
Right.
But there was a piece missing inside of me. Home was fine. I remember, you know, her confronting me, saying, well, what was it? And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't that, it just that there was a part of me that was missing something, and I, you know, I didn't even really realize it until I really started to think back about it. So it wasn't like I couldn't come home and talk or anything like that. It was just a part of me that really, really liked the ego stroke.
Well, I think mine's just more or less the issue of, like, what I was explaining to you. You know, it was a thing of communication. You know, when you feel like you're being belittled and beat down about everything that you say, and no matter what you say is never right. And then you get to the point that, well, you know, hey, you know, I don't even know why I'm even commenting with you, because, in essence, you don't hear me anyway. So what we do is we seek that comfort elsewhere, and then when we find that comfort elsewhere, we find ourselves, you know, in situations caught up in things that we don't, you know, really, really plan to get ourselves in, right?
Yeah.
When everything starts,
was,
when
you
everything
did it the
started,
right way. You told her you were going out and getting something.
Damn right I did. You know, I mean, I ain't gonna lie about it, you know. But I'm just saying. But in essence, that's what happens, you know. And then you don't, you know, you have those conversations, and you speak about different things, and when they don't hear you, then, you know, it becomes a major issue. Whereas you cannot communicate with the person that you call your spouse, and everything that you have to say, you know, I agree, but I disagree. It's almost like saying, I hear you, but I don't hear you. You know.
And I'll speak to that, brother. And do you have a TV on in the background?
Oh yeah, that's the basketball.
Yeah,
I gotta
laugh.
Hold on, let me turn
your thing down. You know, essentially, I'll speak to what you're talking about, because, you know, when we have that emotional infidelity, you know, when you're dealing with that person that's not your wife or not your lady, you know, they don't deal with the day-to-day, you know, dealing with your dirty socks on the floor, taking
right.
care of the kids or running the household, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That relationship is not, you know, I mean, that hasn't been tried or tested, you know. So, of course, it's going to be, you know, everything is, oh, man, I can just talk to you and
Absolutely.
Everything is hunky-dory, you know, when I come see you. And that, you know, that's the setup, because, you know, as the brother mentioned, is that, you know, when we cross that line, we find out that it's just, you know, as we say, spray painted grass with dirt underneath. You know, it's not the grass is not that, you know, that much greener on the other side.
Yeah, but ultimately, a lot of times it's the excitement that's involved in it too. Once you go there, and then once you're there, then it could become a major issue if you don't bring it under subjection. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But one thing that I found out is it's a lot easier for me. Not to put myself in the situation than to have to walk away from a piece laying there.
Mm-hmm.
So I have learned not to put myself in, and I mean, some of y'all are probably real strong, you know, that can walk away from it, but know that I'm not that strong, okay? And I love my wife, and I don't want to hurt her, okay? And I love my family, and most of all, I love my Lord, and I don't know if he'll give me another shot. And for me, my protection now is not to put myself in that situation, okay? Because I'm just not that strong. Like I said, some brothers are pretty strong, but I know me, and there's stuff inside of me that ain't there yet.
I have to agree with that too, because I set myself up with a lot of barrier safety, I guess safety nets. I make sure that my circle of friends are strictly men. I don't really go out of the way to make any conversations with women if I don't have to. And like you, I know my weaknesses. And my weaknesses, why step into it? So that's what I do, is I just make sure that I have safety nets and a support group that I don't have to go talk to anybody.
That's the same thing I do, and whenever there's a... because, you know, my wife and I being involved in ministry, anytime I'll never counsel a woman, and I always, if I'm talking to a woman, within the first few seconds say, well, you know what, let me get my wife to talk to you, okay?
Yep.
Because, like I said, I just don't want to have to be put in that situation that I got to walk away, and I don't want to have to deal with that, so that's just a safety net I put around myself to protect my marriage.
And when I teach too, that's what I tell the people. You know, I tell them that my best friend cannot be other than my wife, cannot be a woman. I cannot go to a woman and confide in that woman. That woman has to find somebody, another woman to confide in. Men should not have best friends that are women that are not the wives, because then you're asking for something. What starts out innocent is going to come to a lot of problems.
Yeah, and I want to touch on that thing.
I also think that comes with discipline also. I mean,
yep.
you may have a situation where, you know, you could be 10 years in your marriage, you could be 15 years in your marriage, and it could be a situation where, of course, when you're courting and you're dating, you know, all the right words are being said. Oh, honey, you look good. I like that suit on you. You know, I love it when you cut your hair like that. So then when you get, you know, a couple of years, you know, after your marriage, you know, 5, 6 years, you know, yes, those words come few and far between, maybe on special occasions. So after those things begin to deteriorate after you're in your, you know, in your 10th year, your 12th year, those things come few and far between. So a lot of people actually look for that connection because, you know, you have to have a kind of a sense of self-worth. Am I still that way? Does he or she, you know what I mean, depending on if it's a wife or a husband, do they still look at me the same way they did when we first started dating?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it becomes that thing. It's, you know, a lot of things that we talk about, you know, could sometimes be on a situational basis. Nobody looks to go put themselves in that situation. You know, any self-respecting man or husband never tries to, you know, but there are some men that do not get that value, you know, from their spouse. So then that's when that emotional connection comes in. You may work in an atmosphere where somebody's feeling you. Somebody's, you know, starting to smell you. Somebody's looking at you and may think you're attractive. You probably, being so many years into your marriage, you're thinking, okay, now I'm just comfortable. You know, my waist is getting bigger. I'm starting to grow up. You know what I mean? My hair's getting gray. So, you know, it's like, yeah, she was fine with me then, and she's fine with me now. And then on the outside of that, somebody else is starting, you know, that's where that emotional thing starts to connect.
But you have to have you have to be secure with yourself.
Right.
I tell my wife every single day that this started in the second half of, we've been married 30 years, started in our second half of the marriage. Every day, I would tell her, and I still do, and I mean it. At first, she thought I was joking. I tell her I love her, how beautiful she is. She looks nice when she gets dressed. She looks nice when she's dressed. you know, I give her so many compliments at first because of what I did. She didn't believe me. She just thought I was just kissing up. But now it gets to the point that if I don't say that, something's wrong. I'm either upset with her or I'm having a bad day or whatever. But I have to disagree with something. Sometimes I think some men, not all men, but some men, do go out looking for that because they're not getting it at the house or they're just bored. You know, so when people say, that's one of my pet peeves, when people say that the guys don't go out or people don't go out to look for these affairs or whatever, that's, if they didn't go out to look for these affairs, they would never have happened. So the thing is that we have to catch before we do, you know what I'm saying? Realize what we're doing before we do it and weigh all the consequences.
Yeah, and that's what I want to touch on, too. Good words, fellas, but, you know, it's 9:35. I think it's time for the monkey brains. I think it came up earlier, this flirting versus emotional cheating. And I took the time and took the liberty to pull out the dictionary and define flirting, of course. And flirting, if you didn't know, flirting is to make playfully romantic or sexual overtures,
mm-hmm.
to come close to reaching or experiencing something.
Right.
So, you know, when it comes to this emotional cheating and flirting, my question is flirting harmless?
No. Well,
I
had a debate with one of my coworkers where I told him, man, I don't put myself in that type of situation because you
right.
never know how far it's going to go. If you know, if that person that you're flirting with is going to take your flirtation wrong, and that could be two different ways. That could be a positive or a negative, the way they take it. And even though it's fun and games, as he thought it was, oh, it's just fun and games. You know, I'm married. I'm faithfully married, but doesn't mean I can't flirt a little bit and have a little fun. I was like, man, that is just a highway road to disaster.
That's it, right?
Why
do it?
It was their excitement. It was their excitement. It was. I can tell you like this. I can tell you exactly what happened. I told my wife this happened this past weekend. I went to my homecoming at school. And we were going to hang out with a couple of friends. We went to church service that night, and they asked me to take one of these guys, one of my wife's friends, take him out. He wanted to go to a club. So I said, fine, we'll go to the club. We went to the club, and we sat in the corner because I didn't want to do anything. So I sat in the corner, and
she saw the head of her sitting in the corner, right?
Yeah. I didn't really feel comfortable. I mean, I'm at the point now, like, the club is fun, but it's not really for me anymore. But he wanted to go, so I was like, let's go. I take you. I have fun. So I was sitting in the corner, and I was actually talking to my wife on the phone. And here it is. I'm talking to my wife on the phone, and this female comes right to me while I'm on the phone. Ring showing and everything. I put my hand up like I'm married, you know, and Constance was flirting with me. And I'm like, I'm talking to my wife on the phone.
Wow.
Like, you know, please. I mean, no.
Did you tell your wife that she came up to you while you were talking to her?
Yeah. I was on the phone with her.
Did she tell you to come home?
No. No, I mean, she knows me by now. So
yeah.
She knows if it was anything, I probably wouldn't have said anything. So if I said it, it was true. So it's the fact that, I mean, those type of situations, if you get caught up in the wrong and you accept that, can lead to something else.
Well, guys,
it all depends on how you value your testimony in itself. I mean, if you hold true to your testimony, you hold it tight to your chest, you're going to make sure that you're not going to put yourself in a position, you know, to allow that to happen. If you do, you walk away.
Right.
And Ross was talking about the definition of flirting. Well, I think we need to talk about the definition of infidelity and adultery. The
the world says adultery is one thing, the physical act, but the Bible says adultery is even lusting after somebody. If we committed adultery in our heart. And, you know, if we take that liberty to lust after somebody, or, you know, look at a woman in a lustful manner, I mean, the Bible says we're guilty of adultery. I'm telling you, that's when somebody made mention of, you know, there's something deep down inside that said this is wrong. Well, that's the Holy Spirit convicting, you know, about that very thing. And, man, I tell you what, I'd rather get a whooping from my wife more than a whooping from my Lord. And, I'm serious. And, you know, when it comes right down to it. And, you know, I think, you know, for us to further on and not put ourselves in that position, that is a process of maturing. Guys, our emotions, you know, this emotional thing we're talking about here, our emotions change. Now, our emotions as teenagers were one thing, but our emotions as men are completely different than they're supposed to be. It's called maturing. Well, same thing for a young Christian or somebody who just got saved. You know, somebody who just got saved might not know, hey, if I lust after somebody, that's really adultery. But as you mature as a Christian, as you mature as a man, those emotions need to be kept under control. And and that's just, you know, that's just holding true again to your testimony. We can build our life, you know, building our life and making sure we're trying to keep the best testimony we can as a husband, as our coworkers, as people in the church and everything else. We can spend a lifetime building that testimony, but it takes 5 minutes to ruin it.
Yeah.
And, you know, 5 minutes to destroy your testimony. And I'm telling you, Satan uses things like this to destroy testimonies. I'll give you an example. My pastor, my old pastor, true man of God, well, his wife basically, you know, left him, and the assistant pastor of our church committed adultery with the pastor's wife. Why? Because it was an emotional thing. He started with this, you know, hey, you look great today, and then it led to flirting, and then it led to, oh, listen, I'm not getting this at home. You know, this guy's paying attention to me, and, you know, my husband's not paying attention to me. And then, you know, the emotional infidelity took place, and then it led to physical infidelity or adultery. And it ruined his testimony. It ruined the whole church's testimony based on that one act. And, you know, I mean, he's put in a whole lifetime full of good things he's done for the Lord, but that one thing ruined it. And and again, that's because emotions were not kept under control. And I'll be honest with you, I think both parties involved were very immature spiritually. So that's something to kind of think about.
I think that's why most people.
Well, I can honestly say, I think that flirting is never harmless. I'm going to be honest with you about that. There is nothing harmless to flirting at all. You know, there's some serious intent behind it. And in my mind, going back to a conversation that we had in the past about pornography, flirting is worse than pornography. Because that's flirting.
Well, I agree with that.
That flirting is worse than pornography.
Well,
it's a lot worse because when it finally comes to an apex or a head, and you get put in that situation where you've got to definitively make a choice, because that's what, I mean, what else is flirting really about? Going back to what the gentleman just said, when you're teenagers, when you're immature and you really don't have that sense of maturity, the whole concept behind the flirt was to get the girl to like you or to try to figure out if she was going to like you and where you could go with this and where the things were going. Yeah, and even at this age, you know, I think a lot of us sometimes are trying to hang on to the youthful side of our past. So when you really think about the whole concept of flirting, where is it supposed to go back to that? Where do you expect it to go?
Say
that Florida piece is never harmless. So
it's
I try to truly.
It's about the adventure,
you know. It's the journey. It's the process. It's the challenge of it. You know.
Right.
I guess, you know, if you want to take it to something real basic, it's the thrill of the hunt. I don't know, but it's like, what do you expect to happen at the end? So then you get put in that situation where, oh, okay, so your clothes off. You're not leaving me these messages, you know, on my phone, and damn, goodness, I should have never given you my real phone number. Well, what did you expect? I mean,
flirting is it can be very dangerous because, I mean, now you have text, you have Facebook,
right?
Yes. And you have all these things. And there was a friend of mine
told me over the weekend when he was engaged to get married. He plays basketball overseas. And this new person sent a real adulterous picture to his Facebook, and he replied back. And they continued to talk for a week. And then all of a sudden, he come to find out that was his fiance playing a trick on him.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Man.
Wow. And he fell for it.
If he was going to fall for the trick.
Did they end up getting married?
Bam, boom.
No, I don't think they got married.
Straight.
Wow.
I think they're just trying to break it off now. He wants to break it off, but I mean,
But P-Town, these internet relationships are becoming more and more popular, and they're a more popular threat, you know, to relationships because it can begin on Facebook chat.
That's right.
You know, forums.
Well, they're actually teaching on internet because it turns into, I think it's not called phone sex, but it's called internet sex. And I don't know.
They just had an article on CNN.com talking about the harms that all these social networks are doing to marriage life and married families and homes. Because they said what's happening is people think, oh, you know, I'm getting on Facebook and I'm able to connect with friends from the past and blah, 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 blah. And you know what? Oh, I remember I had this teenage love and I just like to find out where she is. Well, then they go to find them. And what ends up happening is you start reminiscing before you know it. People are having these conversations, things are happening, and they're finding out that more and more homes are being torn apart, married homes, because of these social networks. They did a poll with about, I think it was like 5,000 people, and they were saying that over a third of these individuals have, in some capacity, either damaged their marriage or their marriage is to the point of being divorced because of these social networks. And they were saying that the social networks are actually really impacting married lives and married homes more so than the young people. All we're talking about is the young kids and the things they're putting on there, but they say it's single-handedly tearing down marriage.
Yeah. Wow.
So it's funny that we're talking about that. Not funny, ha-ha, but funny that we're talking about that because that's a legitimate thing. Because I'm sitting there, and just the other day, I'm not on Facebook because my job won't allow us to be on Facebook or do anything with the professional man, so I'm not on MySpace, any of those things. But my personal battle is choice, so I'm glad I'm not on. That's my battle, you know. But the other day I get this email and from somebody from high school, and they're like, yeah, you know, I talked with people and blah, 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 and they finally connect you, and before you know it, this, you know, I just responded and said, oh yeah, you know, I'm up here now, I'm doing this, blah blah blah, da da. Well, the next email was, well, yeah, you remember when we were such and such and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, this is crazy. You know, I haven't thought about this stuff in who knows how many years. I'm married. I got a child now. I've moved on. And you're bringing this stuff out of nowhere. And I guess, in a sense, going back to what this topic is about, you know, the emotional and then really with the monkey wrench with the harmless flirting, I guess this individual, she's trying to flirt with me a little bit and bring up the past. Now, if I bite on that, where will I end up?
Yeah, and as the brother said, that's just a tool, you know, it's just a trap, you know, it's just going to see if you're going to fall for it like my man did.
Right. And I can't fall for the banana in the tailpipe. I just can't. You know, I just can't do it.
That whole just friends, you know, on the internet, or like the brother just said, you know, getting an email from an old, you know, old friend or whatever, that evolves into private conversations and the emotional infidelity. And the setup with the infidelity over the net or whatever is that you never meet, you know, or, you know, essentially you're communicating via, you know, text messaging, email, Facebook, or whatever. And this means that relationships can flourish. I mean, can literally flourish. You at your job, you know, hitting the old flamer, you know, from back in the day that just reconnected to you, or you sitting, you know, in another room in your house on Facebook and your wife is in another room and you chatting it up with an old flamer, and that's how it can flourish, and that's how the bond grows, and then the physical part comes in. But the whole thing with the internet is that the whole anonymity of it, you know, and you know, there's greater intimacy because of the anonymity, because people are anonymous.
Right, right.
And you know, you're free to share your deepest and darkest parts of yourself.
It's uninhibited.
You know?
That's what it is.
Yeah. You know, parts you're reluctant to share in person, you know.
Right.
And it allows people to be, I mean, you build, you know, you can build yourself up to be the most wonderful, kind, smart, funny, great. And then, you know, again, as I said before, it doesn't, you know, it's not reality because this relationship is not, you know, tried and tested because there ain't no kids involved, ain't no mortgage to be paid. Y'all just, you know, just the good part. You know, it ain't no, you know, real world type stuff.
And the more as technology advances, the more the statistic is going to rise as far as, you know, doing things.
They said one third out of that 5,000.
But what is
and been damaged, or it was done because of the social networking site.
You have to think of the newest, like the newest iPhones and things like that. And like I said, I've lived, you know, probably the majority of my life has, you know, I learned from experiences. And a lot of people just, to me, they don't turn on the television. They don't read the news. Some of your top political, you know, personnel are getting caught up. You know, Kwame Kilpatrick caught up the same way. You know, a lot of people just, they figure it's the easiest way to go. You can't get caught up. I mean, you can go to various websites and find out the information of, you know, somebody that you're even talking to. So, I mean, it's one of those things that, yeah, it leads back to this.
You know, well, see, I don't think it's Facebook. I don't think it's social networking. I don't think it's the internet. I think there's a part of us that is yearning for something, and if we're not smart enough to understand that and understand it about ourselves, it could be any tool that will lead us down that path. And Satan has a myriad of ways. It could be the woman in the cubicle next to you. It doesn't have to be the internet, although the anonymity of it, you know, can be a trap. But it's really within us that really lies the problem. Okay,
I agree.
Because
Thank you.
The Bible talks about it's the desires of our heart. Okay, you know it's what's inside of us because, I mean, if there is a temptation and it doesn't appeal to us, I don't care. I'm assuming that most of the dudes on here are heterosexual. So, I mean, if it was a homosexual kind of a dude out there, I don't care how much internet you got. It ain't doing jack for me. Okay? You know, you could 10 pounds of crack cocaine on the table, and it would rot. It doesn't tempt me. Okay, you put three naked honeys, and I got issue, and I'm trying to walk away.
I got a choice to make.
Okay. Me, that you know, that so let's get real about it and understand that these are tools, and keep your eyes open for the lies, because you see, it always starts with, oh, it's innocent. Okay, it's no big deal.
Not innocent.
You can say this, or you can shoot this email, or you can say this, or you can say that. And but in the back of your mind and inside, deep in your heart, you really know it's not.
Thank you, Andrew.
You really know it's not. All right, but you're you know, and I say this is the 11th commandment: Thou shalt not kid thyself. Okay. You need to be truth to you and understand. You see, it's not the internet, it's not the Facebook, it's not the this, it's not the that. There's something in you that you need to deal with, and you need to work on that and say, Lord, I need help with this. And you need to be able to sit down with your wife and say, look, honey, you know what, there's nobody more important than you, and I don't want to hurt us, and I got issues, and I need you to help me with this. Okay, and I need you, you know, if I'm having issues on the internet, these are my passwords, honey. If I'm having issues with this or that, I need your support. And I need to be able to tell you, you know, if I'm losing or if I need to be able to be able to come to you and say, honey, I have dropped the ball and I, you know, and I need to ask you to forgive me. Okay, before it gets to a situation where it gets out of control. So, you know, if you've got a wife and you can be on the same page, that's what you need to have. But if you don't have that kind of relationship and now it's going to be a condemning thing, then, you know, you're gonna end up pushing it and hiding it and lying about it. But here's the bottom line. What I have found, if you can bring it out to the light of day, You can come on this talk show. You can talk to other men. You can talk to your wife. Satan doesn't get a foothold.
Yeah.
Okay? But if it's done in the dark, okay, that's where he works.
Yeah.
So the real issue isn't the social networking, although that's a tool. The real issue is the desires of the heart.
Yeah, Andrew, just the follow up on that before I let somebody else get up on it, is that essentially with my Facebook, I have a 5-second rule. You know, when I get the little friend request or whatever, in 5 seconds I make a decision whether I'm accepted or, you know, and I might go look at the pictures before I ignore it, but, you know, I mean, if it's an old flame or whatever, you know, I make a decision whether I'm going to, you know, have her in my circle or not, because the reality is that I have to live with my wife. You know, this woman, old flame or whatever, I don't have no dealings with her. She's 500 miles away, and it's not even worth it that, you know, for it to come about that, you know, this old flame is in my one of my Facebook friends. It's not even worth it, fellas, you know, because, you know, my wife is so much more important than, you know, I can hurt her feelings, but, you know, hurting my wife's feelings and you know, then the trust is lost. She's like, well, if you're doing this, what else are you doing? What else are you getting into behind my back? You know, because my wife has all my passwords, but, you know, like the brother said earlier, I mean, she trusts me, you know, so, and I cherish that. You know, I don't want to ruin that, you know, ever. And, you know, so that's why I just make, you know, as soon as I see the Facebook request, recognize the name, I'm like, bam, ignore it. You know, especially if it's gonna have a potential to cause a problem, I ignore it. Simple as that.
Well, can I elaborate? Can I say?
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, Andrew, it was killing me, man. I'm glad you said something, man, because I was fumbling over my words. I'm gonna be honest with you. What I know is, like Andrew says, it's what's in you. You know, the Bible plainly talks about when you awaken love before it's time. You know what I mean? When you become involved with somebody, it says when you sleep with a harlot, you become one with her. So for every woman that you've been with, even though it was just a time, for a moment in time, a space in time that you became intimate with that person, you took that person's spirit with you. That's like the woman when she came to the well when Jesus asked her about a husband, but he said, you have many husbands. Only reason she has many husbands because she has slept with many men.
Mm, wow.
Okay, so you're taking that spirit with you. So that's why you have the struggles that you have and the things that you deal with when it pertains to people from your past. Like the brother said earlier, the things that she awakened, the things that were from the past that she brought up again, it was the awakening of the things that happened before.
Good words. Yep. Anybody else want to get on there? Because I want to go to the next monkey wrench. It's just about 10 o'clock. But, you know, how do you know? What are some of the warning signs that you're involved in an emotional affair? I got about 10 of them I want to read to y'all. You could get on this after I finish. But, you know, number one, you withdrawing from your spouse or your lady. Number two, you're preoccupied and daydream about your friend more and more. You're not interested in being intimate with your spouse, either emotionally or sexually. The amount of time you spend with your spouse together is getting less and less. And my favorite, you know, when confronted about the apparent emotional affair, you respond, oh, we're just friends. You know, but you find yourself anticipating when you can communicate or be with your friend again. And alone time is so important to you, meeting her for lunch, meeting her for dinner, you know, without, you know, telling your wife. And then over lunch, over dinner, you know, y'all are sharing your innermost thoughts, feelings, problems, fears, hopes, and dreams. You know, you sharing that stuff with your friend instead of your spouse. You know, and then, you know, you're trying to find the right, you know, the right personal gift, you know, to give her, you know, like it's, you know, just like on the same level you're trying to get your wife something for Christmas. You're just out looking, trying to get the perfect gift for her. And, you know, I think somebody else said, you know, another warning sign is your friend seems to understand you better than your spouse does. And, you know, ultimately is, you know, you keeping that friendship, you know, secret from your spouse, you know, keeping your act secretive about your activities. You know, and the ultimate is keeping your wife waiting while you spending time with your friend, while you sitting up at lunch. You're supposed to meet the wife or something, you know, or supposed to pick up the kids or whatever. So anybody want to get on that? The warning signs, how you get caught up in this thing?
No, what's up, fellas? This is D.
Go ahead, D.
Hey, D. Yeah, I think, I guess for me, because, you know, I've
you know, kind of been there is when, I guess, when you have to, I guess, think about what you say, where, you know, with, you know, your friend or whoever, you don't have to think about that. You just pretty much just say what you say. It's almost like reverting back to who you was prior to. And it seemed like, to some degree, when you feel like you're losing yourself, and then all of a sudden you're reborn again, to, you know, to a sense. Kind of like with me. So it's like, you know, I always felt when you feel like you're losing yourself, then, you know, that's a warning sign as well. And, you know, and, you know, I've always been, like I say, a humorous person. When you feel like you can't be funny, or if you have to think about what you say, you're like, wow. But you don't have to do that with your friends. Or does anybody really that knows you? You know, I have people known me 25-some-odd years, and they said, that's Derek.
Let me ask you a question. And let's just say, for instance, you do have this friend, female friend, that's actually being the replacement for a conversation that maybe you've lost in your marriage, whatever the case may be.
Good word.
Yeah. And you say you can just say anything. But and you make sense saying that. But do we really just say anything? Do we say what we want them to hear so we can get the response back from them that we need? Or do we tell them the whole story, what's going on in a marriage? Because there's two sides of a story that's going on in our marriage, and we may not share that with the woman on the side. We may tell her, you know, the issues that we may be venting about, things that our wife is not doing or whatever she changed or whatever, but we may not be saying our involvement. So we're actually painting a pretty picture about us and a bad picture about our wife, so we can in return get that pat on your shoulder,
that
it's going to be okay. Yeah, it's going to be
emotional.
Okay. If it was me, I wouldn't go out like that. I'd give you some every day or whatever the case may be. You know what I'm saying? Are we telling these people on the side the truth?
I would say that depends on, it depends on who the friend is. Because I would honestly say that it's the one that you feel comfortable with sharing everything with, and her giving you the candid feedback when you tell both sides, they kind of make you even want that person a little bit more. You know, because it's one of those things where, you know, you're right. You can't paint one side of the picture or paint one story, but that friend that you have that you give the whole picture to, and then they share it all back with you and reflect it back on you, that person, in a sense, could be even more detrimental to you, because you're just sitting there and you're saying, wow, you know, I didn't even really think about it that way, but you put it out. And it may be something that your spouse or lady in life may have already said, but hearing it from this person for whatever reason is just really starting to hit home. So I think it depends on the person, because I think about things personally for myself. I think I have just as many close female friends as I do men. And at times, that can be dicey, because I've had other female friends say, you got to watch her, because the way she's looking at you, she's glamored or enamored by you, and it's a little bit more than what you're just seeing. And again, it goes back to the fact that it starts sometimes with just having an open rapport or being able to talk to some individuals and be a little bit more candid with things. So I guess to answer the question that the new monkey wrench has been thrown in there is, it all depends on the person, because there are individuals that you do paint the whole picture with. Like, I got a couple of female friends that I can say, I just tell them all of my flaws and all the flaws that's going on with the situation, and they can sit there, assess it as a third party, and be like, okay, you know, well, this is what I'm hearing, and this is what's going on and what you need to think about from a woman's perspective. And I don't think sometimes that's necessarily a bad thing.
And does your wife know all these
ladies? Is your wife friends with her, too?
Not friends with them, but I will say this. She does know them. And I also say this, a couple of them actually came to our wedding. They came to our wedding with their husbands.
They came with their husbands.
Well, you know, all I can say is thank goodness for Tony and this call, because it's safe here.
It's safe here.
Yeah, I saw them crying at your wedding. I was there, and they were crying. They were mad.
I'll tell you one thing. I don't have any female friends that aren't friends with my wife and I. And that's a protection for me and my marriage, because one thing I found out, and this is something, I mean, you know, I actually, my wife would tell me things about certain women, especially in the church. And she'd say, well, you know, this woman's liking you. I'm like, no, she doesn't. She's like, yeah, right. She does. And I'm like, no way, you know. And she says, trust me, she does. All right. And it seems like every time she'd say that, and this was before we were husband and wife, we were just dating at the time, okay, these things would come true. And I was like, wow. I was literally, you know, I wasn't interested at all in these women, you know.
Right.
But and she's one of my biggest tools now, if you know, if that kind of situation, if she says something, I'm going to listen to her. And for me, I don't have women friends that are not – if there's women friends, if we have friends, they're me and my wife and her husband. We're not go out with just, you know, me and a woman friend, because again, for me, and if you can do it, more power to you. To me, it just leads to destruction, and I'm not gonna play that game. I'm not gonna give Satan a chance to knock me out of the ball game like that again.
Let me ask this question. Go ahead.
Hey, like,
now,
I
was
like,
going to say, oh, my bad, go ahead.
I was going to, I know, you know, like in my situation, you know, when I was in college, you know, I was pretty much cool with everybody. You know, I ran track, but, you know, this is what type of person I was. I was cool with everybody. But particularly the Deltas. Any cues on the phone? But I was really sick. And the only reason I was because there was a female there who took me under her wing like I was her little brother. So I became cool with all of them. And literally, it's like 50 of them. You know, not at the school, but 50 of them I know on first name basis. But there's at least 10 or 15 of them that I've been cool with ever since college. This is before I met my wife. Now, is she going to be able to meet all of them? I seriously doubt. She probably met three. One of them happened. She was my ex who came to the wedding. You know, she came to the wedding.
So she
but,
was
you know,
your
I, but I, yeah, I asked my wife. I said, okay, if she comes, you know, I pretty much gave her a list, but she was my ex, and she was adult, and she came to the wedding. But, you know, cool with her.
You invited
my wife
to the wedding?
No, I had a list. I said, look, here's the list, and we went over the list, and I said, if you just tell me yes or no, and I have no issue with it. She's like, yeah, as long as she knows that I'm yours. I'm like, yeah, she knows.
She was your ex? Did you say she was your ex?
Yeah, she was my ex. Wow. She came to the wedding.
And you put her on the list to give to your future wife, and she approved it?
Yeah, because we were friends. I mean, after we broke up, we were friends.
I don't have to check obituaries? See if your name is in there?
No, but
that is dangerous, bro.
The other thing she knew, and I told her, I said, look, I said, I'm probably one of the few males you will meet who has more female friends than male. And I have more female friends than male. Good friends.
Hey, I'm going to tell you something real quick, man. Anytime I was in the friend zone, I was trying to get back on the field and get into the end zone.
Hey, D, but I ask you this. What if your wife came to you today and she was like, I want you to cut out all the female friends you got? Could you do it?
What's the reason? I would just want to know what
the
reason.
Be honest with that one.
If she was just basically like, you know, I just don't want you having so many female friends anymore. It makes me uncomfortable. What would you do?
I said, what have I done to make you feel uncomfortable?
That's a great response.
You know, this is out of the blue, you know.
What if she said, you know, I've never been actually uncomfortable. I've never been comfortable with it. You know, I've just been kind of working through it.
You should have said that from the giddy-up.
I like your answer again.
Because I said all that before we got married.
But, fellas, I mean, like I said before, you got to live with this woman. Other chicks,
so,
I mean, it's like,
that's
my wife's
choice.
Like,
that's
I don't
choice.
Want,
think
you know.
That's the choice she made because
yeah.
I asked.
I mean, I have a lot of female friends too, brothers. Don't get me wrong. But if my wife came to me today and any female friend, coworker, blase, blah, it don't matter. If she was like, cut it off, I'd be like, young lady, my wife's not comfortable with our relationship anymore. Holler at you. You know, I mean, it'd be simple as that. Because I have to live with my wife. I have to keep her happy home. And if she's uncomfortable, I don't want to be doing anything that makes her uncomfortable and make her be, you know, just untrustworthy.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, that friend has done nothing wrong. Nothing.
I mean, it's just the fact that she's a female. And just like the friend said, that she's another female.
So you're just going to deny yourself a friendship.
Look, understand that. Say you've been married for 10 years, and that friend has been your friend for 25, and you've been strictly friends.
Yeah.
That goes back to the beginning of our topic with the emotional.
Yeah, marriage is more important than any friendship, period.
Right. I mean, once you marry, I mean, that's supposed to be the friendship.
That's number one.
No, I understand that. There's nothing wrong with that. But what I'm saying is that I always look at, there has to be a reason. I'm not, like me, I would not tell my wife to cut off friends unless I have a reason.
Just because.
You know?
Right.
And I said,
I said that
brother crossed my mind.
I'm with you on that
one. I expect you to handle that. If you can't handle it, let me know. That's just how
I agree with you on that one.
I agree with you on that one too, bro.
But it's still networking, because I look at friends as networking. You know, I could be in a situation where, you know, oh, so and so works for them, but I don't cut them off.
And you would never know if your wife came to. Let me understand this. I'm trying to understand this. I hear brothers disagree with me, and that's fine. But so you would battle it out to maintain a friendship that your wife came to you for whatever reason. I mean, let's say it just wasn't a reason. Let's just say she was just uncomfortable with the situation, because, you know, whatever. You would go to the mat for your friend and adversary against your wife?
Now, what I'm saying is that I would just ask why. I would ask why.
Right.
I'm saying
I think battle's the wrong word. It's not a battle. It's not a battle. It's question.
What happens if your wife just says, you're spending too much time, or I feel you're spending too much time, or you're neglecting me, or whatever?
Well, I can understand that, but there is no one that, you know, can go find spending much time. It just isn't. So, you know,
well, let's take it
on the phone.
Can we take it in a totally different direction?
Go ahead.
When people feel uncomfortable, sometimes it's because they haven't been made comfortable.
Mm.
If I'm saying that correctly.
Wow.
And I have.
Or they know
they're
not doing something, so therefore they feel uncomfortable.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I personally have two female friends that have been friends for a long time, and they're both very attractive women. And my wife actually knows both of them to the point where we've all hung out. They've been over my house. We've gone out dancing. We've gone out to restaurants. We've done a lot of things, all of us. You know what I mean? To the point where my wife would sit down and talk to them without me. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, okay, now you know this person. We've been friends forever. You go talk. You feel her out. You see that there's nothing there. We're just friends. So I had to do my due diligence to make them comfortable with these people, so they'll know there's nothing happening. We're truly friends. So there would never be a conversation. Well, I want you to get rid of XYZ. But why? Y'all cool. You know what I'm saying? But if I didn't do that, then she could come and say, well, you know, I noticed that you were talking to your friend on the phone. I noticed that you guys sent each other emails. I don't know this person. I want you to eliminate this person.
But would you do that now? Would you go out to lunch or dinner with that friend now after your wife has been exposed to that person, just you and her, as friends?
Yeah, but I would tell my wife.
Yeah, you'd tell your wife.
Right.
What if she said to you, I'm not comfortable with that?
But if you already know him, what would you be uncomfortable? I mean,
I guess
you're just saying she wakes up one morning and just...
Yeah,
exactly.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, that's what I'm saying, fellas, is that I just go back to the point that this is your friend and this is your wife.
Hey,
I mean, this is a simple, you know, when you're going to choose, that's an easy choice. If your wife says,
I don't like
her hairstyle today, drop her. I mean, like, I don't see myself going into it. Well, look at, I mean, I don't see anything wrong with her hairstyle, honey. You know, I think that she should still be my friend. I don't see me going to the mat for this friend. I don't care how much of a friend this is.
Now, one thing I do want to add is if I found out that, you know, that was a situation, you know, no problem, but I would want to delve into deeper and see if there's some other issues, okay? First of all, like I said from the beginning, I don't have female friends where it's just me and her. If I'm going to have a female friend, it's going to be me, her husband, and my wife. That's the way it's going to be. Okay, we're not going to do this, well, you know, we're friends, I introduce you now, it's me and her going out to dinner. That's not going to happen, all right? Now, some of y'all, like I said, strong enough you can do it, but I know me. and I'm not going there. And it would be very uncomfortable for my wife to go out to dinner with another old friend from the past. Okay, I don't care who he is. They're just friends. They've been friends for 100 years. I don't know if you would be comfortable or any of y'all would be comfortable with Long Dong Silver sitting at dinner with your wife.
Exactly.
Who knows who he is? You can sit all day, oh, he's just a friend, but you know dude is waiting for the spot to slide in.
Yeah, and that's what I want to bring this to, you know.
Think,
go ahead.
And I think it's a little different. I'm saying you got to add two key components to it. You're talking about a friend that your wife knows you've been intimate with. There's a key, you know, and then you're going out to eat. And then you got that other act, and you know, I throw a monkey wrench in this one. All right, what if you're in the work environment and your wife meets so-and-so? You know what? I don't feel comfortable with her. You need to find another job.
That's,
now, I don't know if that would happen, but
I mean, that
you need to keep,
that's a bit extreme.
But when you go to these functions that are related to the work, we need to keep it strictly professional.
But I want to keep it on what you a line that you just said, because what is this business about staying in regular intimate contact with ex-boyfriends and ex-girlfriends?
No way.
That's an issue. That's an issue.
I think it depends on the nature of the relationship. You know, just for me. I know with me, when I explained it to my wife and how it happened, and, you know, basically, you know, make a long story short, you know, she was an attorney. You know, she was just a little too over her head, and it just didn't work out. Personalities clashed, whatever. She had a miscarriage, blah, blah, blah. And we drifted off, but we became friends. And that's all we ever been. And
your wife knows.
She knows.
You can be. Yeah, you
Hold on. Time out. Now, you said that y'all were involved and she had a miscarriage and y'all are just friends now? I mean, that's some emotional stuff right there.
That's why I said we drifted over, kind of like went our separate ways. I gave her about a year and a half to really just, I didn't even contact her for a year. You know, I may have like text her, like, hey, just call and say hi, blah, blah, blah. Because, you know, it was emotional for both of us. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, my wife knew. And it was pretty much up to her whether or not she wanted to deal with it. Now, we don't have a friendship. I'm going out with Marnita today. Not like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I stay in contact, you know, because she's an attorney, too. So, and I'm like, let me call Marnita and ask her.
Would you be comfortable with it if the roles were reversed as far as that if you're...
I would have no choice. I'd be hypocrite if I sit here and say, oh, yeah, I would have a problem with it. You know, I'm just the type that I can't see myself getting mad if I'm doing the same thing. Because that's what creates the friction.
I honest with yourself, back to the 11th commandment, you would have a major problem with her sitting there with Gunslinger. I mean, any dude that says that's cool.
Depends on the relation. Like I said, depends on the nature of relationship.
Okay.
No, I think what he said is that it's because he's doing it, he wouldn't have a problem with her doing it. Now, if he's doing it, he wouldn't have a problem with it.
Ain't no way some dude's going to be okay with some dude that was banging his wife that
check
he's going out and now they having dinner together. Ain't no way on this.
Oh, no. I didn't say we went out to eat. Just talk.
Right. Well, talking leads to the next thing. That's a friendship. A friendship is, you know, we can kick it. We can hang out with my boy Brian. We go kick it. We have a good time. All right. If Brian was a female, you know, that couldn't happen. And I'm going back to being real. I can't imagine some dude to be okay with some Long Dong Silver from the past with his wife for her to have a relationship with him.
You know what I'm thinking with my, she values the friendship too much to draw the line. I just haven't had any that drew the line. I'm saying my wife has had an occasion where someone crossed that line, and she dealt with it. You know, I didn't question him.
Yeah, but I guess what I'm hearing is that it sounds like that you wouldn't have a problem with it because of what you're doing with and the scope of the relationship with your female friends. And I think that it's almost like, well, you know, like you said, it would be hypocritical for you to say, oh, don't be texting Long Dong Silver, you know. But, I mean, essentially what you're saying is that because I do it, you know, for her to do it. But if you weren't doing it, you would have a problem.
Problem.
And that's what goes back to my point is, you know, it's like these relationships, are they that serious where we just need those with the female with the opposite sex that we really, you know, when it comes down to it, when you got to make a choice between that friend of 25 years and your wife of 10, you know, you're going to choose the friend over 25 years or you going to go to the mat for that friend that's a female?
It depends on how those other guys define the relationship. You know, I find mine as friends. You know, I don't define it. You know,
I think it's a judgment call, Rodney. Rodney, I think it's a judgment call. And I honestly believe I would feel a little offended. I would probably feel a little pissed off if my wife came to me and told me to eliminate my female friend of 25 years who's been there with me.
Yeah.
If we didn't have a relationship, I'm talking about a friend that maybe I grew up with that's been there with me through every 25 years. Think about it. College, growing up. Teenager, the whole nine yards you went through with this one person, then your wife's going to say, okay, get rid of her? You got to evaluate your marriage at that point.
What's wrong with that, though? I mean, regardless of how much history I got with a girl, I mean, regardless of how much history I got with a guy, I mean, my homeboy of, say, I don't know, the last 15 years, if, you know, I mean, my wife tells me that she has a friend, I'm not married, gentlemen, but, you know, I would think that if my wife tells me she has a problem with him for some reason or another, if it's making her feel uncomfortable, I got to check that situation. I mean, regardless of how long I've been friends with this person, that's not my problem.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Now,
but
how much is that
you're right,
control, though?
You're right.
How much is that is control, and how much is that...
I mean, it could be discernment, and that's what I was getting to, is that what if she sees something in that female that you don't see, that, you know, that's you know, she sees in her eye that, yo, I don't like the way she's looking at my husband.
So what
right.
That's where the dialogue comes in. You just need to talk about it, because I don't think it's battling, or it's just that you just want to have a dialogue about it. Okay, well, what is this that you're seeing, and let me see if I can help explain something to you. You already know this person, but I can talk to you.
Hello.
So, are we rationalizing
the fact that you've known
them? Oh.
Are we rationalizing our decisions? Are we justifying our actions when we explain to them? If my wife told me to end a friendship, I'm going to end the friendship. You know, that's just the way it is, because she sees something that I don't.
It's the T word.
And the
it's
same
the T word.
What if she's wrong?
The T word.
What if she,
she's wrong. I mean,
how?
And then before you know it, they're using that. That every time they feel something's wrong, they can bring it up to you. You're just supposed to drop it with no conversation. And I'm not saying a battle. I'm saying a legitimate conversation to say, okay, well, what is it that you're seeing? I think you can at least ask that one question, and it would be okay.
Hey, thank you. Thank you.
You
talk
know,
about it.
25 years of friendship, and your wife comes out of nowhere and just says, I don't like her hairstyle today. Drop her. Okay. Well, can we talk
your wife
about
a 10
like,
years?
What is it that you?
Well, it would be more than a hairstyle. It would have to be something to the point of. Well, for one thing, I have to. I'm in the same line of thinking of Andrew. Okay, I won't have a friend that is single. That's a woman. I will have a couple friend. So I'm not going to get myself because a lot now. Some guys don't have issues with that. Some women don't have issues with friendships. They see that as the word friendship. They take it literally, friendship. Okay, there are other people, and I'm one of them, that that is an issue I have and a struggle I have in life. So I have to protect myself. My wife comes up to me and says, hey, you need to end a relationship or a friendship. We use the word friendship. Then it's time that I end it because she sees something that's developing.
And, fellas, let me just say this, because as my man P-Town said earlier about his friend, y'all could have just fell for the trap. Now, your wife could come out of the blue and say, you know what, I want you to drop Tracy. And if you go throwing stuff, oh, you know, Tracy's been my friend for 30 years, I can't leave her. Whereas if you just say, you know what, yeah, Tracy's gone. She's like, okay, I'm just checking. Tracy can be your friend.
No,
that you got to try to trap me on something and just not talk to me about it. That's something's crazy with that.
Something's
like,
crazy.
You
got to
set up like a trap.
That's other
you should have
to
set up as a trap. Yeah, it shouldn't even be a trap. It should be a type of thing where I'm feeling a little area of concern with Tracy over here, and I'd like for us to talk about it. And that's when you say, okay, well, what is the concern? Because you know that she's been my friend for 25 years.
you know, and I would like to be able to dialogue with you about this. And through
so
that communication, you can ultimately...
Here's my question, though.
What's that?
What did she say? Well, you know, see, I'm just not comfortable. I mean, she's been your friend for 25 years. She hasn't necessarily done anything to, you know, to quote-unquote cross the line. I'm just not comfortable as your wife. So then what you going to do?
I'm going to have to ask the question, well, what is it specifically that's making you uncomfortable? Because you know, here's the thing, you married me knowing that I've had this friend for 25 years.
But
well, you know
change.
Everything about, because I've told you everything about
things
me.
Change. People change.
Yeah,
you know, that friend, you know, really look at it like, man, I wish I had married him. Man, this is a great guy, my friend. And she started looking at you in a different way. That happens. And the thing is, like my man said, it's like, it sounds like to me, if you would have had that dialogue or the conversation, it seemed like that you would be like, well, what's the problem, honey? I mean, it would be sort of confrontational, whereas we're saying that, you know, it's like, well, you know, let me hear from your perspective about this friend, and, you know, versus saying, well, I really want to keep her as my friend, so I don't know what you're going to say because I don't know what you're seeing in her because I don't see it, and I still want her to be my friend after this conversation. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not, that's why I say it's more confrontational, more of a battle than, you know, actually a healthy dialogue about the situation.
I think down to the same bottom line. Is she more important than my wife?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Amen.
And the answer to that is no.
Nope.
All right. She's not
so
more important than my wife.
Drop a
and it starts with that. Wait, one second.
Yeah.
Has a pattern of insecurities, we need to work with that and see where the core, if that's an issue. Okay, because that could be an issue. It could be every single person in my life she's feeling like that, and that's a deeper issue. And then we need to figure out where is the insecurity coming from, and that may need some help and some work. But, you know, just on a random situation, I mean, point blank, there's nobody more important than my wife.
Say that.
She
sees something.
Well,
how would you be able to make that differential, though, between the fact that there's a deeper issue versus this one incident?
This is a situation that's coming up, and I see this. It's going to be a pattern, okay? And I'm going to say, you know, honey, you know, she says, well, I just don't feel comfortable with this person, okay? You know, and if, you know, 6 months later she comes with the same thing someone else, you know, we're starting to see a pattern of some things and saying,
but wait,
where's
but
the problem? Why are you so insecure with my friends? Well, first of all, I'm not going to have female friends. But let's just say she says, you know, I'm not comfortable with the amount of time you spend with Brian. Okay? Now, to her, that's a threat to our relationship, and I've got to take that seriously. Okay, now, I like Brian, but we ain't going to go pick out curtains. He's a really attractive guy, but I mean, I don't fuck.
I don't know, Andrew.
You know, sir, I got
you. You want to respond to that?
I think it's a trap. Hey, Rodney, I do. I do.
Go, Tom.
You said earlier that if your wife said cut it off, you would cut it off. But then you said, but then you need dialogue.
Right.
Either you cut it
right.
off or you need dialogue. Which one is it?
It's both.
Yes.
And you know, but I'm coming from the angle that, you know, I may have to cut this off after this dialogue. Now, I'm not saying, you know, if my wife comes and say, you know what, Julie, she need to go or whatever. I'm not saying I'm just like, you know, Julie's gone. What I'm saying is that, is, you know, if she's brought it to me, it's obviously an issue. So at the end of this dialogue, I may still end up having to, you know, cut off Julie, you know, because it's an issue with her. And, you know, that brings me to my next point, and I think it's timely for this, you know, and just tying back to the topic, I think we got a little bit off a bit, but, you know, the question is, are women more susceptible to emotional cheating than men?
Yes.
No.
I think it's a balance. I think men will cross the line physically quicker than a woman would, and I think women are really looking for that emotional ear a lot of times because men don't get on calls like this and understand how to relate to women.
I think it all depends on the person because I think back to growing up, I was always a cat out of all my boys that really wasn't concerned about the sex and the intimacy and all that stuff. It was more about the emotional connection with the women. And that ultimately got me to that level of being able to achieve those things that these guys got at the beginning, but it was deeper.
I think this one's really a woman.
Yeah, and I agree with him. Like, I'm that type of dude. Like, back in the day, I go to a strip club and have a conversation with the girl. I'm not even trying to tip. I'm trying to ask her why she's here. Smiling, you know, having a conversation. Why are you here? You know,
y'all some different kind of brothers than me.
I'm telling you.
Ain't a whole lot to talk about in a strip club, brother. Ain't a whole lot. But what time do you get off?
It goes back.
But I'm saying the big reason why I am the way I am today because I'm very open. You know, sometimes I'm too open. But when you look at friendships, and like I said, it goes back to why I have so many female friends. Is mainly because, you know, I may not always agree with what they say, but I'm going to listen. Now, you take the advice I give you or you don't.
Yeah, but in the strip club, I mean, first of all, something drove you to that place just to get in.
Oh, the boys wanted to go. I was single anyways.
Because you can have conversation anywhere. You can have conversation at the library.
I think he went to the
entertainment.
I was always curious why, you know, I'm very analytical. I always say, like, why are you doing this? Well, I'm in college. Where you go? I go to Johns Hopkins. Wow. You know, I didn't know that. So, you know, end up dating her. But, you know, I'm just asking
you. That's a different kind of brother, man.
That goes back to my...
You're a different kind of brother, that's all.
Yeah, that goes back to what I said in the very beginning, is this, you know, emotional cheating is basically talking to some, you know, to the person of opposite sex in a, you know, intimately. You know,
if that's your intentions. I'm saying you can talk, but, you know, it doesn't mean...
That's the female's intention. You said that she's, you know, talking to you and you're listening. Maybe she doesn't have a man in her life that lives.
A lot of times they're venting. That particular case, yeah, we were just having a conversation. She was just shocked that, you know, I'm like, damn, you know. You don't want to laugh, Dan? Like, no, not really. I just want to talk.
Like I said, you're a different kind of brother.
You go to strip club for a conversation. I mean, you know,
it's
what it is.
Oh, man. That is wild.
Most people,
you getting a lap dance?
Yeah, most people are checking for the pimples on the booty.
Strip clubs really don't do nothing for me, to be honest. I've never been into them. I'm like, yeah, whatever, you know.
But would you say that you're more comfortable listening to anybody talk or specifically women?
Oh.
Because you said you had a lot of female friends.
No, it's just the way it happened. I don't know why, just the way it happened. Because, like, I was a little bit more mature than the guys that I went to school with. And that may have had to do with the military upbringing. It may have been the fact that I went into the military. I don't know, but, you know, it may have been sports. But at the same time, I was generally, I would say, 2 to 3, you know, age groups higher when it came to conversing with women. You know, and it's just how I was. I've always been that way.
So
you know, it's like,
don't get anything out of your conversation.
Go ahead. Go ahead, sir.
Here's the question. So, having female friends, do you feel that is necessary in some capacity for you to be able to better value and understand some things surrounding your, whether it's your mate, your wife, your lady, or whatever? Because I think if you just try to X out all contact with women and friendships altogether, there's something wrong with that.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I use friends more really as networking than anything. You know, I have so many friends that do different things. And, you know, been through so many different things. So it's like a buddy of mine, she worked for the State Department, Delta 2, but, you know, she worked for the State Department. So when I have an issue that, you know, that, okay, you know what, can you address this for me? I'll find out some information. She'll find it out for me. But we also just talk about when we was in college and tripping and all the other stuff. She tells me about her ex and all this other stuff. I'm like, wow. You know,
so you like her listening. You like these women's listening ear. I mean, that's what it's about.
Hey, and I give her advice of what she do. Do you think he's cheating? I was like, yeah. I said, the brother ain't called you in 3 weeks, and he said he's been working. Nobody worked that much.
I got
nobody worked
like that too.
Nobody works that much.
Go ahead.
Hey, but listen. See, you just said something key. Now, you could say that the brother, whatever you said about the other brother, but somebody could say about you, he got too many friends not to be hitting them. He got too many female friends not to be trying to get.
But
him.
I'll be honest
not
with you,
to be
that was my MO. If you was in the car with Derek, he was hitting. And I said, why? Damn, Erica, my wife, she'll even tell you. She's like, he was a hoe. I said, no, I wasn't. I said, just because they're in the car with me, all of a sudden I'm hitting. You know, if I went to Morgan to visit somebody, I'm hitting it.
You're a different kind of brother. I keep saying that.
Andrew, what would you be doing, Andrew? Tell him.
Both of us would be hitting it.
I was,
we're trying to.
Blowing back out.
But see, I've been talking about
back.
My motto was simple. Food, booty. And most of them cook. I would eat. When you're in college, you're hungry, I would eat every day.
But I think it goes back to what the brother said earlier about that there's something in you where you have this need to have multiple female friends. And on this intimate level where y'all talking about the ex and, you know, he ain't working or whatever, you know, y'all talking about.
My late granddaddy, probably his genes.
Well, I'm going to tell you, man, my first marriage, yes, I was just like you. But the reason why I had him is because I needed a backup plan. I'm always going to have a backup plan
now
on ice.
Only somebody
now it comes out.
Backup.
Now it comes out.
I mean, I'm going to tell you what it is. This is a phone call full of men, and half of us been out there, so we know what time it is. And if I had a woman on the side who was a female friend, either I used to hit it or I didn't get a chance to hit it yet. You know what I'm saying? Or she's a backup plan for when that marriage fails and my wife starts acting up.
Now, if something were happening to you and your wife, God forbid, could any of these ladies be a plan B for you? I mean, be honest.
You talking to me?
Just you
I'm with Andrew on that one.
I'm with my man on this one though because I've had a couple come into town too and have done the same thing. But like, yo, I'm coming and whatever. And of course,
my wife
knows him, and we connect. We catch up.
No, that's all you're doing. You're just catching up. And see, the other thing is like,
you didn't answer the question. You go out to dinner with them without your wife.
No, I asked you want
to
go.
I'm not saying we go to dinner, but we catch up.
We catch up at a coffee shop or something,
but my wife knows them. I think what I specifically do, particularly with all the women from the past, whether they are friends or 10 years, 25 years, whatever, I've made sure that my wife knows all these people.
I'm going to let her know. You know, I'm going to let her know.
Once she knows them, it's like, all right, she knows who these people are, what's going on. When they come into town, you know, or we're somewhere, I'm catching up with them, and my wife knows, and I let her know.
Well, if they come into town, why can't they come to the house? I'll give you another example.
One came into town and stayed at our house.
That's cool.
She stayed here.
That's cool.
That's good.
That's wrong with
and you stay here you with my wife and I. She is, right, and this is the thing. My wife, but it's just it. I think the whole thing that I guess was not being conveyed in this call is that I think, you know, I'm in the same boat as other gentlemen. Is the fact that you include these women. They're not just randoms in your life that your wife would basically be like, I'm uncomfortable with this person. They know who these people are. They've met them. They talk to them. They're probably aware. But if they haven't met them, then at least aware of who they are. So that when you're somewhere or something comes up, I'm not thinking about Jackie. I'm just out here catching up with Jackie. She's my friend.
But I'll tell y'all this, going back to the brother's question is that, you know, we don't want to say that, you know, no friends of the opposite sex, you know, but what we're saying is that with this whole, you know, back to our topic, and we haven't even got to the physical part, but, you know, this whole emotional stuff, you know, and the fellas, you know, the couple of fellas that are talking about that have a lot of female friends, I mean, from their perspective, everything is cool. But I guarantee you a couple of them ladies is looking at y'all like, yeah, she better not mess up.
I'm the cleanup woman.
You can't help.
Exactly.
You can't help that.
Exactly.
But the thing is, as Andrew said, you have to protect your marriage.
That you can't even have the, I mean, you shouldn't even be having, I mean, when you see that or your wife sees that, like I said before, she's like, you know what, you need to watch Tracy. I know she's been your friend for 25, but it's something, you know, something about it. She's just going through a divorce or whatever, and you right there is that listening ear that she didn't have, and, you know, and you everything that her ex was not. Come on, man.
I had that happen one time. I was kind of like, nah. And she said, well, I saw the way she was looking at you. I was like, what are you talking about? She licked her lips. I'm like, she did? Was I looking? Right? So, like, we kind of got, I'm not going to say an argument, but it was sort of like, I said, I don't think that's the case. I said, she's never approached me. I said, there's been many a time that me and her have been in the same environment, just her, and she has never mentioned anything. She never even crossed the line.
But people change. That's what y'all not getting.
What I'm saying is, I said, okay, you know, I pretty much just did my own little internal investigation. And after about 3 weeks, I was like, you know, maybe she just.
She could be plotting and waiting
wrong.
For a time. Waiting for that open.
Exactly. Waiting for that door to open.
No, what I'm saying, though, but, was there. That's why I'm sitting there like, okay, she didn't cross the line. So I said, maybe she just misread something.
I wouldn't have had a problem if she said, you know what, you know, I think y'all need to stop talking. Because I really hadn't been friends with her that long.
It's
only been 2 years.
So basically,
hold on. Let me answer Rodney's question real quick, because I see where we're going. I think, yes, it is okay to have female friends of the opposite sex if they were there prior to your marriage.
Absolutely.
No new friends allowed.
I don't agree with that one either.
Try to bring a new female friend into your marriage. Oh, this is my friend. Yeah, I just met her 2 months ago. This is her name, blah, blah, blah. Try to bring that around your wife.
How you bring it in. It says what I'm saying. All right, what if,
right.
I don't know, like through work. You know, all of a sudden I'm working somewhere. Like me, you know, I have teachers for every year.
It's not your friend.
That's not your friend. That's a coworker.
You know,
I wouldn't recommend you trying to do anything like that. Brand new
friends and a coworker?
Nah, listen, listen.
You can be, but
when,
that, I mean,
when you are a teacher,
not hanging out, not at a hanging out type.
Nah, listen. When, maybe it's different for teachers. When you are teachers, you form a bond. I mean, my wife is friends with someone that she's been. She met her the first year she started teaching. Although as a female, it really wouldn't matter. But she actually had this male friends that she had. They hang, they click, whatever, and they do.
They go to dinner together.
And you're not
invited. They go to happy hour. No, I don't care. I said, you know, go.
They go to Atlanta.
Andrew, where you at, man? Andrew, help the brother out.
Go to happy hour.
Help the brother out, Andrew.
That's what I do with my family.
I'm
telling
saying they go to happy hours. I'm saying
they go to Aruba. I go to Aruba with my friends.
Let me help out because my wife is a teacher. And yes, she hangs out and I know the bonds. You know, she's been teaching for 10 years. But she does not go out with any dudes, you know, or is not talking to my knowledge. You know, she's not talking to any dudes or going out. You know, it's like a group thing. And,
yeah, the
you know,
group thing. Yeah, group
and,
thing.
And
go
the whole thing about it is that, you know, if I'm like, you ain't going, she don't go. It's not like, oh, but these are my friends. This is my bond. It's nothing. I'm like, you ain't going, you know. And it's not about control. It's just that, you know, it's like you
control.
Just hung out with them.
It's
last
about
week.
Trust.
Yeah.
That's control.
It's about control. It's about trust with a little pinch of control. A little splash.
Let me pull this back though, because what I'm hearing is that, you know, I'm glad that we, you know, stuck on the emotional part, because it's the setup that this emotional piece is not key, you know, even getting to the physical part, you know, when you're getting into intercourse and all that stuff. But, you know, what I'm hearing is that, you know, no, we do not, you know, we don't want to bar off all friendships, you know, between the opposite sex or whatever. Nobody's saying that. And I think Andrew was right to say that, you know, the relationship, you know, you got to have, you know, boundaries and everything that come into it. And it may change after the marriage or to respect the marriage. But what I'm hearing is that if it came down to it where your wife was like, cut them off. I'm not, you know, I'm not comfortable with such and such chicky anymore. Y'all would go to the mat for this chick. Y'all be like, what?
No, we're not saying that. We just want a dialogue. I got to ask you a couple questions. Once
that's
we dialogue, then we'll see. Then we'll see.
Well,
you
got
to make the answers. Perhaps the answers isn't what you don't want to hear. If she says something you don't want to hear,
exactly.
After you're dialoguing,
yeah.
What happens if you don't want to hear it? So you're just going to say, you know,
exactly.
She's my friend.
I guess this is the other. I just don't want it to be the type of thing where, you know, it's, you know, every other month, because going back to the whole concept of a pattern.
Yeah.
So every other month, you want me to be dropping these friends, and because I've already just, you know, just blatantly caved in on the first one and be like, you're right, honey, and just drop this friend of 25 years. Now the next one, I'm dropping a 23-year friend. Then the next one's a 20-year
mm-hmm.
friend. And all these people that I may have gone to Sunday school with and know their families through church with. I mean, and they're my friends, you know, and ultimately, I'm just caving. I guess what I'm saying, it's not really a battle or going to the mat with it. It's just, let's talk about it. Share with me where this stuff is coming from, and then we'll figure it out. I guess that's it. I'm just not going to blatantly say, "Yep, it's over with."
Let me ask you this real quick: if these ladies were making advances, you know, towards you, and it was obvious,
you stretch it now.
You know, would you cut it off, or would you have to have your wife to say, you know what, she's making an event? Would you notice it and say, you know
but
what?
But that's a no-brainer. That's a no-brainer.
It should be a no-brainer. But, I mean, she's your friend for 25 years, and it's like, well, I can't,
hey,
you know.
Let me say this. Let me tell you a story real quick. Take 2 seconds. I got a friend named Jay, right?
Yeah.
Me and Jay have been friends for a long time. Long time. When I was first married, my wife told me to end that friendship. End it. Stop talking to her. I don't want you talking to her. Just like what we're talking about. Stop talking to her. And you know what I'm saying? No, she can't come over. I don't want to see you. Just don't call her. Nothing. Just end it. And I was like, yeah, okay. No problem. I didn't end it, but I just told her that. Okay? We got divorced. Guess who's still my friend? Jay. Guess who was there with me through the divorce? And I'm not talking intimately. I'm talking as a friend, small support, the whole nine yards. She said, come on, I know you're going through it. Let's go out and hang out and have a drink. Guess who was still there? Who's still there today? Same person, Jay. Think about that. I'm going to cut her off now? I'm going to cut her off because my wife doesn't like her?
Is Jay married?
No, Jay's divorced. But she's been divorced, is what I'm saying. She's been divorced.
But
she's had male friends, all that. I've met them. We've all hang out, all that. It's a friend, a true friend. But the fact is, I went down that road, and I was told to cut her off because of whatever problems that my first wife was having. Then my first wife didn't make it. You know what I'm saying? But Jay is still there as a friend. So
she
now
didn't
I'm going
to
cut her off.
She didn't turn out to be your backup.
She didn't turn out to be your
backup,
your second wife, right?
Yeah,
That's what I heard
on phone say. Well, you got to know that, you know, you're holding on to these people because if something happened in that marriage,
someone can go to it,
and that doesn't sound like that happened with you.
No. You're right. I did say that, but she was not. She was a legitimate friend.
Yeah.
Legitimate. There was no pretense there at all.
Well, what I'm saying
and
is
I guess
that relationship is rare, and I'm not saying it's impossible. I think that's where y'all missing me. Is that I'm not saying that, you know, that Jay, you know, is a great female friend or whatever and doesn't cross the line. I'm not saying that it's impossible. I'm just saying that with this whole emotional stuff, and I mean, people change, situations change, and you know, you've been that friend for 25 or 10 or whatever, and then they start looking at you like, man, yeah, man, I'm man. Is my friend. We can really kick this off.
Yeah, honey, but we didn't.
Let me say this.
We don't just have male friends, man. We grew up with males and females. We got to eliminate
right.
all the female friends because we're married?
I'm not saying that. I just said that female friends would change, but go ahead.
Here's what I want to say. That, and I'll you put this disclaimer out there before I even say anything, and that's to each his own. You know, you gotta know you. You gotta know your wife. You gotta know that relationship, and you gotta respect it accordingly. I don't know what's acceptable for you and your wife. You know, I know what the Bible says, but I'm not gonna go into all that right now. But what's acceptable in your household? Because your wife might be totally cool with what my wife is not cool with. But I would say personally, this is me in my house. I don't go out with female friends, married or single.
That's right.
I don't go out. And I don't expect my wife, and that's not mainly because of that. It's just because that's how I feel about my wife. That's just me. And I don't do it just because I don't want her to do it. But she doesn't do it, which is a good thing. That's kind of her own choice. And I'm glad she's making it, and I don't have to kind of step up and show. start dictating anything. No. But I do have female friends. And I have, you know, I've talked to them on Facebook. I talk to them on the phone. If I do see them, then, of course, my wife is there. And that's not too often because, I mean, not that I don't go out and stuff like that and talk to them. But, you know, there's an air there, and I know my wife. And she knows me, so you know that wouldn't be a good mix. Put it that way, to put it nicely, that wouldn't be a good mix for me to be just going out shooting some pool or going to a happy hour or something else with this female friend of mine. My wife wouldn't take it kindly, that's for sure. So for me, I would say it's okay to have female friends, and this is kind of why I asked the question. The line for me again. Is not going out with them. Because, again, I don't have any ex-girlfriends as female friends. I'm not saying that's not possible. I'm not saying that doesn't work for any other brother on this call. I'm saying for me, that doesn't work. But I talk to them on the phone. My wife's around me. Now, I'm not always pulling her in the room or something. I'm getting ready to call so-and-so. I want you to listen because I don't want you to think I'm talking about anything. No, it's not like that. But any phone call that I do have, it's not like I have to go into my man cave to make that phone call and talk to that woman. There's a problem then, and maybe we all, you know, do self-checks with our own friends. Whenever we do get with them, the phone calls maybe we do have with them, how often is our wife around any of those relationships? And why not? Is there really an underlying problem with that relationship that we're not willing to admit?
Mm-hmm. Say it. That's what I'm waiting for. Say it. Say it. Your wife is secure to the point where she knows there's no other woman out there that's going to take her husband's attention.
Right.
It is what it is.
Right.
See, that's where it is in my house, though. That's why I don't have no problem. My wife is so arrogant.
That's
how she's like, yeah, you can talk to him. You know what I'm saying? I don't care. But they ain't coming nowhere near my household. I don't care what they promise you. You see what I'm saying? So it's not an issue. Yes, I can have female friends because she already knows what her role is and how I'm and my respect for her and where my obedience is. And that's the thing that makes her sleep at night. She ain't worried about females. She ain't worried about fake. She got my email password. She's got fake everything. Everything's wide open. She don't even get on it to check it because she's so arrogant to the point where she knows she put her work in and she already knows exactly what I'm going to do and when I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, Rodney, I think that's the underlying issue. The trust in our household. If there's a trust issue, of course your wife's going to tell you, cut that chick off.
That's that T word.
This T word. That's, mm-hmm. I mean, because sometimes we don't have, just like Andrew said, sometimes we don't have control of ourselves. So we supposed to expect our wife to trust us?
Yeah. Yep.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and I'll say this, you know, we talk, you know, at length about, you know, the emotional piece, but how do we, what kind of barriers, how do we stop emotional infidelity from happening? What shall we do?
Stay at home.
Stay at home. I like that one. I'm at home right now.
Go somewhere and hide.
Don't say hello.
Don't say hello.
I think the way you do it is develop a deep communication relationship with your wife.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you're a Christian, I feel you have to be like-minded with the couples that you're hanging with. You know, if there has to be a common ground, boundaries have to be there. You know, the whole thing. And you can, and when you're out with the friends, it's a nice, relaxing time. Not threatening time, not looking over your shoulder time. You know, you're having a good time in fellowship.
Yeah, good words. Now, you know, I think we've belabored the emotional piece. Good words, fellas. I appreciate it. Do we want to go into the physical piece?
Good luck getting somebody to talk to you about the physical piece. Good luck.
Good luck.
I'm sure I can get somebody to talk to you about the physical piece because that's what we're talking about tonight, fellas, is, you know, the whole emotional thing and the physical thing, you know, getting physical. You know, like my man said, you know, he's in the, you know, next thing you know, he had a little emotional thing. Next thing you know, clothes off in the hotel. It's like, wow, how did we get here? So, you know, I know that I can't speak from that piece. I spoke from the emotional piece from experience, and thank God that I cannot speak from, you know, that piece of physical infidelity or unfaithfulness. But does anybody want to go there at 10:55?
I'll give you a scenario. No,
go ahead.
In my first marriage, man, I was married once before, and I understand exactly what all you guys are talking about because at that time, I had a real good friend that was a friend, a really great friend. I mean, but I was unsaved then. And this person even, you know, helped name my first child, my only child. And she come to the house, sit down, talk to my wife, you know, be chilling. This is my first marriage. And everything was gravy. She's sitting down in the living room. She fell asleep one day. My wife was in the room asleep. Next thing you know, I'm hitting it in the bedroom. I mean, hitting it outside the door while she laying in the bed asleep.
Wow.
Crazy, man.
Wow.
So you got to be
real, though.
Oh, yeah, for real. I mean,
I'm being real about it,
you know.
That's real talk, brother.
Yeah, I mean, to the point where the only way she found out was I had taken some pictures of me hitting it up in the loft. and she had to go through one of my suits and file the pictures, you know. So I'll be, hey.
You took pictures?
Oh, yeah, that was crazy. I was wild, you never told me about this, man. Oh, no, I haven't. But I was wild back then, though. When, you know.
but where did it start? I guess, where did it begin? How did you know that she would let you hit it right outside? Right.
Well, you
want
to hear something funny? Because I used to date her. I used to date her sister.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
So the communication across lines right there.
And I guess that's my point. That was my old point is that, you know, I'm saying keep your female friend. I have a lot of female friends. But my thing is, fellas, that, I mean, this thing can get, like my man said, this thing can get dicey.
Real,
I mean,
real
when
nice.
It comes down to it, it can get real dicey, and especially you got that female friend that's, you know, on the rocks or whatever, or marriages,
oh, yeah.
You know, and then it's like you there, you've been that friend for 12 years,
oh, yeah.
And, you know, I can talk to you, and, oh, man, we know each other, and then bam, bam, boom, we're hitting it 2 feet from, you know, the spouse or whatever.
And that's the truth, and that's real, though, man. I mean, and,
how long were you friends with her?
For maybe 18 years.
Wow.
And I mean, real good friends. You know, somebody that I've known for a very long
right.
time.
That's close to that 25 somebody was talking about.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
yeah. He just shot my theory down.
But what I'm telling you is the realization of it all is that, you know, you don't really realize these things are going to happen. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And what happens is at that instant, when you had to make that choice, at that moment,
yeah.
You know, between right and wrong. But when you're unsaved and you don't know God, man, there was no right and wrong in it, man. It was like it was on.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you this. I mean, I heard this on the radio. Guy was confessing on the radio that he went with his wife to his in-laws, and, you know, he and the wife's sister were getting to drinking and partying and having a good time.
Yeah.
And when the wife was asleep,
banging it.
2 feet.
They were intimate, and he felt very guilty after the fact, but and he was trying to apologize on the radio, but he wanted to know, should he tell her or should he not tell her?
But I'm gonna give you another scenario though without cutting you off. Now I'm gonna tell you what caused me to be that type of person because I didn't know better then. And what happened was is that I was in a relationship with a young lady before and I had a child by her. And so I assumed. But then her sister told me that she was being victimized through incest by her dad.
Oh man.
And then I questioned her about it. She told me maybe I liked it. So after that, I disrespected women for years.
Wow.
You see?
Wow.
So I have no regard for them for a long period of time, you know? So I mean, that was something I didn't know God, you know? I couldn't get past a lot of things. But, you know, we did a lot of, you know, sometimes we get married out of the fact that we want some booty, you know? It wasn't about being happy, you know? It was about getting on. You know,
anybody else want to share that physical piece as we've ventured down that road? Anybody had that experience they want to share briefly?
I've been down that road. The same deal with Brian. Okay, my first marriage. I mean, you know, and that's, you know, it's one of those situations, and it wasn't an emotional tie. I mean, she was just fat.
Let's be real about it.
I mean,
right.
The opportunity presented itself, and at the time, you know, that's what it was, and it was like okay, and you know, I was married, she was married, and it was like okay, you know. Now after I started hitting it, then I started developing an emotional tie.
Wow.
Okay, but for me, I mean, she was fat. You know, that you only think with one head. But some of us dudes that were out there, you know, I wasn't saved at five. I was gunslinging. And if it was looking good, boy, it was looking good. So, I'm just
saying.
That's what
I'm talking about.
So here's another one. I don't know if a lot of us travel, but work and travel.
Yes, sir.
Some of that flirtation that you did, and now you're on travel with this person.
Wow.
8 conferences.
And
conferences.
You know, I've seen it at the job where, you know, it ruined marriages, and they have gotten together. And then it ruined their job where,
it says in the handbook that, you know, coworkers on the same project is not supposed to be dealing with each other.
Yeah.
Mm.
Or you have these things that you see on TV. What was it? The guy on ESPN who lost his job.
With the 22-year-old girl.
And she was a dog. Did y'all see her? She was a dog.
No, we didn't see her.
I didn't see her, but that's where flirtation probably stepped him into, all right, you started flirting, now speak what you say.
Well,
what about what happens in Jamaica stays in Jamaica? What happens in Hito stays in Hito. What happens in Brazil stays in Brazil. What about all these men? Because I know a lot of guys that I know that are married, that they go on these trips with their boys.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy.
You see what I'm saying? And then they come back and they're still married. Or women, they go with their girlfriends on these cruises or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still married.
Yeah.
You know, well, they just got friends, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, what'd you say, Andrew?
they just got friends.
Yep.
I go to Jamaica with my friends. I go to Aruba with my friends. Okay? Mm. So if we're just friends and you can go to Aruba with me, we got something going on. That's why we got to be with my wife and your husband, because that ain't going to happen.
Right.
You know, hey, Tony, you still in the line? Tony Holmes?
Oh.
Tony? No, okay. Well, he's my boy. We go to Aruba together, okay, with his wife and my wife. Okay, I ain't going with my friend, his wife.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
And I think, you know, it's actually a good words, fellas, but I think just to wrap this up, you know, I don't know if anybody wants to go back to the physical, but I think Brian really gave us some realization to that. I think that's enough for this evening, but, you know, good words, fellas, and but, you know, I think it goes back to the point, you know, that most people don't plan to be emotionally unfaithful or, you know, even physically unfaithful. And, you know, as we said, you know, over the call, it sort of leads into something, you know, that we didn't intend for it to lead into. And, you know, I'm not saying get rid of your female friends or, you know, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that you have to be mindful. I think, as one brother said, somebody's got to.
What is that?
One brother said is that.
Let me put the mute on.
Yeah, essentially, you know, you have to be mindful. And what works for you and your household, you know, definitely you want to keep the happy home. But, you know, as far as, you know, what do we learn tonight from this? We'll go around and then we'll do a little open mic and then we'll shut this thing down for the evening. But, you know,
a monkey wrench, man.
I got a monkey wrench. Go ahead with it.
I got a monkey wrench.
Go ahead with it.
And it's emotional monkey wrench.
Uh-oh.
Are we talking about the emotional cheating?
Yeah.
Okay, well, this is really not cheating. But my question is, how many of us still flirt with our wives?
I do.
I do too.
I mean, realistically.
That's every day.
That energy that we spend in the workplace and grocery store with those other women, how many do we do with our wives? And, I mean, is it even flirting if it's your wife?
Oh, yeah. But I think the response is different. You know, from that coworker or that lady in the grocery store or whatever, it's like, whoa. You know, but with the wife, it's like, get out of my face. You know, it's not very, you know, it's not always receptive. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, definitely, I definitely try to, you know, that's a great, you know, great monkey wrench.
I mean, it is. I mean, because we do spend a lot of time being preoccupied with, man, that girl was fat. You know what I mean? I mean, we do. We're men. It is what it is. We see with our eyes, and it's there. Maybe we don't react to it, but we see it. You know what I mean? But sometimes, like, you know, I was in Walmart the other day with my wife, and I went over to McDonald's, right?
That's my favorite store.
Yeah, and she went to get whatever she went to get, and then she was coming towards me. So by the time she got close to me, I said, you know what? If I wasn't married to you, I'd still try to talk to you. You know what I mean? Just something like that. Just something. You know, I would still try to kick it to you and get your number. You know what I mean? And she had a look like, oh, okay. You know? But my wife is a guarantee.
these girls at the job or whatever, they're not a guarantee. That's a lot of work. You know what I'm saying? So hey, where should we really be putting our energy?
That's right.
Right.
You know.
That's true. Anybody else learn anything? Thanks for the funky wrench, Tony.
Yeah. I like what Brian had to say about his 18-year friendship.
Yeah.
Wow.
Banging it 2 feet outside the door. Holy that tells you how that is.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when truth be told, I don't think many of us are strong enough to walk away if it's laying there.
No, that's right.
Okay. I mean, you can kid yourself and say you are.
Mm-hmm.
But when you really examine your heart, man, it's a lot harder to walk away than you think it is.
Yeah, a lot harder. Yeah.
A lot harder. So don't put yourself in that.
And y'all missed that one. Yeah, they did miss that one.
So the only thing I can think about, you know, this whole conversation, it had me thinking about Chris Rock's just movie, how an old friend can come back into a marriage and next thing you know, you have this feeling of having fun again. You're hanging out. I think we talked about that, you know, because your wife's allowing you to go out and hang out with your friend and y'all doing things behind the wife's back that you probably wouldn't do if, you know, your friend wasn't there. And you never know what that other person's real agenda is.
You got that right.
I think, Patrice,
let's just spend a couple of minutes to talk about that agenda. What is their agenda?
Oh, no.
When it's all said and done.
You could
what
be
do
that
they
plan
want
B.
from you?
You could be
you a married man, you got a wife, yeah, whatever. They trying to hear your war stories about you and your wife, the issues. So
you
they
could
can
be
break
you
off of something.
We're talking about a female, man. What
yeah,
female
we talking about a female.
What that fairy tale story?
Let me tell you a quick story about the situation. This wasn't even a friend. This was my wife's sister. I was engaged to my wife, or just about engaged to my wife. And my wife's sister, now I didn't even see it. My wife's sister, you know, I was trying to help out. She was single mom and had two kids, and I really, you know, had a good relationship with her kids. And my wife said to me, something funny about my sister, and I don't understand. I was, what are you talking about? She says, I think she's liking you. I was like, oh, come on, get out of here with that. Come on, it's your sister. You know what I mean? I wasn't thinking nothing. You know, all I was thinking, you know, was, you know, hey, you know, I'm going to be in this family and let me build a relationship with the family and stuff like that. And man, I couldn't, man, cause all kind of issues. And finally, I had to confront it. And I confronted it. And she said, well, you know, you my Boaz man. I was like, holy.
Wow.
You know, and I mean, even to this day, there's remnants of that issue. Okay,
wow.
It's 5 years later, okay? But you got to be really, really careful because you don't know what's in somebody's mind. You don't know how they're looking at you. You may be just as, and I was just as dumbfounded. I was like, you know, and I had to tell her. I said, I really appreciate it. I did this and she was, I guess, just about my fiance at the time, and I did it with her sitting right there, and I said, look, I think it's flattering. I understand that you like me, and I think it's flattering, but this is my woman. It would never, ever happen. Never happen. I'd never cross that line. Okay, you got to understand that, you know? Man, if she didn't get her butt on her shoulder and start gossiping and spreading lies, you don't even know what kind of stuff you're getting into. You don't know what's in people's minds. Okay, people have things go in their mind, and you don't know what baggage they brought into their life, and they see you in a way, and it doesn't matter. You know, I was her Boaz man,
yeah.
You know. And you
oh,
couldn't
yeah.
tell
somebody
anything.
Somebody going to always try to test your Christianity and see how far you can get.
Mm-hmm. I have a question for you guys, as you call it a monkey wrench.
Yeah.
How do you handle it when a woman's sexual desire changes after years of marriage and they no longer desire intimacy the way that they once did before?
Brother, that's another topic. We actually got that on a to-do list, right, Tom?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
For sure.
We can leave that alone then.
But we can answer.
No. We're going to address that.
We can address it. Let's just finish up with this, and we'll go to the open mic, and I don't know if anybody else has anything to say on this topic, but, you know, we might have already moved into open mic.
Open mic right now.
Yeah, I just say to close it up, and then we'll go back to this question. But, you know, just remember this. When a spouse places his or her primary emotional needs in the hands of someone outside of the marriage, it breaks the bond of marriage just as adultery does. An emotional affair can be just as dangerous to a marriage as a sexual affair, and often a more complicated situation to remedy. So just keep that in mind. That's little notes I wrote. But back to your question, brother. We're on the open mic. It's that time. To talk about things that are not on the agenda, but for the group, could you state your question again or state your concern? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I said, what do you do when a woman's sexual desires change after a period of time? You know, they don't desire the intimacy as they once did before. And as you say, as you call it, a monkey wrench, I just said, how do you address that issue?
I think you just beat her into submission.
Dangerous. No, I say this, brother. I think that the main focus is communication. So I would ask her. It's like, yo, I mean, what's up? You know, not like that, but I mean, essentially, I think you have to talk to her about it. And you know, I know that the key to intimacy is you know, definitely communication, and also going back to, like we said earlier, flirting with your wife, dating your wife, you know, giving her that attention that you might be giving that coworker or that, you know, woman in the grocery store or that friend or whatever, be that listening ear, be that for your wife, and then assumably you should expect to see your intimacy improve. But
I think it's a mental thing, because, you know, I believe that they, you know, naturally, they, you know, it's natural within them to not, you know, just to not have a desire, you know, because they can go there.
Yeah, I asked you this too, brother. Is she on birth control?
Oh, no. I mean, no. I mean, I'm not having a problem. I just asked a question.
Yeah, I'm saying.
I disagree because there was a call on female on our Four Wives Only Thursday call where I think they're more excited about sex than we are. God damn, my dude talking about putting a stripper pole in the bedroom. I was like, baby, I got the drill.
But hey, I think
it's us that is not bringing it out of
them. I don't know about that.
I know, I'm being serious based on the call.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, I think it's just is this something natural inside of a woman. It's like if you were in a relationship with a woman before she came your wife, and then all of a sudden you were in this relationship, and then the next thing you know, they said, well, I want to get right with God, so, you know, I had to cut this thing off. And, you know, it's cool with them to cut off relationship and not have sex for 4 years, you know. I mean, I believe it's just something that's natural that's within them. So I don't think they look at it the same as we look at it and look at sex as with the same importance as we do.
I think
you know what
the you know what I want to say real quick is that we look at it as how often,
of course,
you know, and they're looking at it, you know, they may be more passionate about just doing it one time during the week, you know, whereas you're like, oh, she don't.
That don't work for a brother, man.
Yeah, you go one time during the week, ain't getting it, man.
but I kind of agree with him to a certain extent, and the reason why I say it is because I'm hearing more and more and more about men talking about how their wives have changed, how the sex changes after the marriage.
Of course.
For whatever reason, it just changes. And then women, and he's right, women can go weeks, months, days.
Absolutely. And don't think
about
it.
And we can't. And in the beginning, we was going at it like rabbits. But now the whole rabbit theory is out the window. And you're like, well, what happened? Well, you know, I got this on my mind. I got that. But I got responsibilities, too, that I got to handle.
You
know what I'm saying?
But they can. It's all mental, like he said. It's mental for women where we can just shut all that stuff out when it's time to get it on. But, you know, then what I meant with the birth control comment is that if your woman is on birth control, that affects their sex drive. I mean, that's a reality. And that's why I mean, you look at the effect that birth control is having on her libido, you know, if you lack intimacy or whatever, but that can definitely pose a problem you know, if they're on birth control. And that's why I kind of threw that out. But,
sure, but what I'm saying is that, like I said, it's easy for them, you know, and they don't think in the context of how we think, because men don't think in the same way they do when it comes when it comes to sex. So where we have this, you know, this desire to, you know, to be fruitful, you know, to be fruitful, not, you know, not necessarily multiply.
You're talking about laying the wood.
You know what I mean?
You know, I think if you communicate with her that, you know, baby, once a week is not cutting it for me.
That's right.
I mean, if you just tell her that,
Brian, I'll talk to her.
Well, I mean, literally, I mean, if she doesn't know that, if you never articulated that to her, then she may think once a week, then you should be good. So
yeah,
you don't.
Hey, I call her tomorrow, Brian.
But see, you don't have
ain't working, baby.
You don't have to articulate it.
My boy needs some.
You've written a book on it, okay?
What you say?
I said you don't have to articulate it when you've written a book on it.
That's true. That's the key to getting these women on this call, okay? Because they'll talk to other women.
Yeah.
Will explain to them, you know, from a perspective of a need from a man of the man being validated as your husband.
Yeah.
See, a lot of times women think, oh, it's just sex, but they don't understand that sex validates the man as your husband and a man.
Hello.
And when they start to understand what sex means to a man, it starts to be very different. Sex to a man validates him a man, just like emotions to a woman validates her as a woman. And we need to understand what their needs are and to fulfill them. That's our responsibility. When women start to understand inside the marriage that God says, look, this is it. This is the only place we can go. We can no longer go out to Hoochie Mamas or whoever, okay? This is it, and this is the need, and the communication is the key, okay, of this is what the need is. Now, we have to be sensitive and say, well, look, baby gets up at 5 a.m. I can't be, you know, every night, you know, keeping her up till 2 in the morning, you know, like we used to be when we were 19 years old. So we got to be, you know, sensitive, but also in the communication saying, hey, baby, you know, once a week ain't cutting it.
Yeah.
And so then, I need some nookie.
And then the thing about it is, what makes it so clear is that when you know, you remember early on in your relationship, you know, the initiation was there on both behalves, you know, and then eventually it just gradually dissipates, right? And then all of a sudden you're like, man, what's wrong? And then you talk to them, what's wrong? Nothing wrong, you know. And, you know, but they really truly never ever tell you.
Well, one of the things, and I encourage you, and this is with the guys on the call, get your women on the call, because they will talk about these things. And my wife, directs the call, and she has a very good grasp of understanding what a man's need is, because she and I talk about all of these things. I mean, we talk about all these things, and understanding that if a woman doesn't initiate sex, it tells the man that you don't want him.
Hello.
Okay. If you don't do that, and that doesn't have to be every time, but if you don't do that, it tells him, I don't want you. Now, what if we told you we don't want you, okay, to the wives?
What else you
see? Eventually, you'd be like, what's wrong? You'd be like, what's wrong? And that's what it is. Even if it's just, you know, touching you and initiating sex every now and then to say, you know, hey, I do want you. You know, I'm interested in you. You're my man. You know what I mean?
You know what? I think Brian,
yeah.
Right?
Hey, hey.
You said something last week, and one of them we wanted to use as a topic, but you said something else about the master of you.
I said you're a slave to the things that have you mastered.
Yeah.
Now, later on that week.
If something that controls you, you're a slave to it.
Exactly.
If alcohol controls you, you're a slave to it. If sex controls you, you're a slave to it.
Exactly. And I'm glad you said that, because that was good words, because that was something that I was dealing with, the fact that, you know, when my wife would change and it would be like, okay, we're not the same as we used to be, and I would think, man, what's wrong, what's wrong, what's wrong, what's wrong?
Mm-hmm.
But I had to step back and take a look at me, because now I'm thinking sex.
Sure.
I'm thinking, man, I'm not, you know, I want to have sex. I want to have sex. She's my wife, blah, 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 is what we're supposed to have.
They want intimacy.
But But when the times came when it was time for intimacy, or when it was time for just holding or just
mm-hmm.
laying there chilling,
sure.
my mind is, okay, how long am I going to have to hold her before I go? You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
I mean, think about it. Real talk. You know, so I had to back up off, and I realized, I said, slave has become the master. I mean, sex has become the master of me.
There you go.
I can't even lay there without thinking about sex.
There you go.
So I said, well, let me get my mind off of the sex for a while.
And that's the
and think
I
about
that
the intimacy part. You see what I'm saying? So I had to release the sex from out of my brain. I had to kill it for a minute
sure.
and say, okay, and now I can be better for her because now I'm meeting her needs. And once I meet her needs, then she's going to reciprocate.
Absolutely. And a lot of times that is the case. And a woman does look for more intimacy rather than the sexual part of it. You know what I mean? They don't want to make it seem as if it's something to do, like it's work. You know?
Exactly.
So, yeah, I understand what you're saying. And
I actually got a success story.
Go ahead.
I actually got a success story because I've actually went in a different direction. You know, right after we got married, we weren't having that much sex. And
mm-hmm.
10 years later, we're having more sex.
Okay.
And that's because, several things. She's not on birth control, you know, I will say that, and hasn't been for probably since we had our first daughter. So she's 6 now. So last 6 years, she's not on no birth control. And essentially, I've communicated, you know, to her that, you know, this X number of times just ain't going to cut it, you know, during the week. And I've communicated that with her, and she's like, okay, you know, well, you know, I'll try to do that. And I've told her that I needed to initiate more. She's like, okay, I'll try to do that. So, and, you know, also, you know, just dating my wife and just flirting with her and just, you know, just that intimacy. And we're actually, you know, because of these calls, you know, it came out. She's like, well, we ain't really that intimate. You know, we don't really have an intimate relationship. And I was like, you're right, you know. So, I mean, we've actually been working through that. And, you know, that has helped as well. But, you know, I'm actually, you know, going in a different direction, whereas initially we weren't having that much sex. And then now, you know, 10 years and 2 kids later, you know, we're having more sex. And it's because, you know, just that, you know, just we're working through that intimacy part, and that's what she's looking for.
Right, but one thing you could be assured of with me is that's why when I get on the telephone, you know, I'll call with you guys and I talk about the things that I speak of. I only say these things because I encourage my wife the same to listen. But I'm the type of person, whatever I say to you here, she's already heard it. We've already conversated about it. You know, one thing about me, I'm very open. And I don't know how to hold back anything.
Say that again, Brian.
I don't know how to hold back anything. Okay.
Yeah.
And
I'm going against the pussy.
Well, Brian, you know, you're relatively new to the call, but I think, you know, you actually missed a lot of the calls where we definitely had the topic, you know, why does the man have to initiate and
oh, yeah,
sex change after marriage. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, so we've definitely, you know, hit on those. And, you know, it's...
If you want to listen to them, just send an email to us and we'll send you those.
Yeah.
Well, I received somebody's email the other day, so, I mean... I definitely received it. I'm not a computer person, but I definitely received the email the other day.
Yeah,
and I read it and I got the link and the number and everything. So yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, and the open mic segment, you know, generally, I don't know if that was your issue or not, but you know, generally we want to open it up, whereas you know, somebody's you know really going through it or really got someone in mind that they can bring, you know, to the table, and you know, I'm sure that issue has helped somebody tonight. You know, because, yeah, sex does change after marriage because lifestyles change.
Randy, can I say one thing?
Yes, sir.
Add one thing.
Yeah.
One of the things that has really, really helped my marriage, not that we've had issues, but being part of this ministry and being part of the marriage ministry has strengthened my marriage because these issues and both of us being involved. I mean, you know, Glenn being involved in the women's part and me being involved in the men's part and being involved in the whole marriage ministry in our church, it has helped us more than anybody else and has developed a communication and a strength that we would have never had. I encourage you to get your wives onto the woman's call because it's going to do the same thing. You see, when we talk, it's great, but when they talk and we talk, then you can talk with your wife. That's what this is all about. Get them on the call. Encourage them. Say, you know, this is doing so much for me because I'm learning how to be a better husband. I'm learning how to satisfy your needs. And I'm telling you what, I listen to these things, and I go and I examine, am I doing these things? Am I completing my wife, you know? And I'd really encourage you guys to truly, you know, encourage your wives to plug in, because they will start to hear things that they don't even understand yet.
And they will hear things that you sometimes can't truly communicate to them because you don't know how to say it. You know, because women can be very fickle sometimes. You say the same thing, and next thing you know, they gone from one level to another level because they heard something totally different.
Yeah, say that. anybody else got anything for the open mic? Anybody got anything they want to bring to the table? Got about seven guys left on the call, different perspectives. So,
anybody chatting? You got something? If you're chatting, just type it and we'll say it.
Yeah, we'll put it on there. But yeah, anybody got anything? Questions, concerns, issues?
It's always questions, concerns.
I know, right?
Well, another good call, fellas.
Yeah, definitely that. Yeah,
no question whatsoever.
More emotional than physical. Yeah, Brian just dropped the physical bomb on us.
Let's be real about it. I mean, I'm like this, right? Hey, whatever I say may help somebody else because somebody else is not able to say what I said on the phone, you know?
Exactly.
And I'm a type of person, man. There's no fear in anything, you know, because whatever I've said, like I said, whatever I said to you, I've told, you know, somebody else. And I've told my wife. And one thing about myself, I speak, you know, I speak the unspoken, you know, I mean.
Yeah. I'm sure somebody was thinking exactly what you were saying, man. You weren't the only one. We know that.
Yeah, and that's how I handle things, man. I mean, I carry it to the, you know, to the degree that I can handle it myself. So whatever it is that you have to say to me, I'm ready to receive it. I'd rather hear truth from you rather than me finding out otherwise. You know, I've always been that way. So
yeah, that's real talk.
Yeah. So I mean, there's many things in my life.
Well, the good thing is that we as Christian brothers can get on this phone and take our holy hats off.
No question.
And be real about it.
No question.
And that's one of the issues why a lot of people, you know, use excuse to stay away from the church because they feel as though, you know, we walk around with these holy hats on and we're these perfect people, but we're not.
Oh my God.
We're far from it.
Oh no.
You
question.
See what I'm saying? We remember where we come from. That's that whole born again Christian. We've been somewhere.
Okay.
We got some history. You know what I'm saying? And the thing about it is, yes, we got in the water. Yes, we came out a new man. We killed the old man. But guess what? We still know where we were.
You know that's right.
And our testimony is our story that will get those to understand. Yes, we're still human, and we still have struggles. But we get on this phone and talk about having sex in the next room while your wife is asleep.
You know
what I'm saying? Because it's real.
And I was hitting it, too.
It's real.
Oh, man.
You know what I'm saying? It's real.
Yeah,
it's real. You know, when you talk about the infidelity and the cheating and all that stuff, when you get on the phone, you hear it, and then somebody will back it up with a Bible verse, that's powerful, man.
Oh, no question.
It's powerful.
No question. And if I knew what I know now, back then, you know, none of this would be funny. But the fact that it happened, and I could tell somebody without having shame, man, that's the real difference, you know?
Yeah.
Because I don't have no shame, man, you know? No whatsoever.
No.
I'm not trying to get on the religious shit with you guys or anything, but I'm gonna drop something on you. I was teaching I actually teach the Bible in Bible school also, and I was in my class and we were teaching, and for some reason, you know, the Holy Spirit just had me focusing on the scripture that was written on the wall, and thou shalt not have any other God before me, and I kept seeing that, and then in the spirit he just says that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. So on a non-religious level, what I heard was is that the first shall be last. He said, thou shalt have no other God before me. That's his first commandment, right? Shall be last. So I mean, now the first that was first is now last. So he says that there shall be no other God before me at the end or at the beginning. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. So that should not be any of. That's why he says that you shouldn't put any God before him first, and the first shall be last. And now the first is now the last. Thou shalt put no other God before me, because he is the beginning and the end.
I don't know if you got that, but
yeah,
he says he is the beginning and the end. So thou shalt put no other God before me.
Yeah,
God is interesting. God is interesting.
And we normally get this way towards the end of the call, right?
The last, you know, the desperado, the last.
It is what it is.
It's like, you know.
You know that's right.
But yeah, anybody got anything else? It's 11:30. Great call, brothers.
Awesome.
Spent a lot of time on that emotional piece, but you know, I just say, you know, whatever works for you and your household, but be careful, you know, be mindful. You know, this thing can get dicey.
I'm just like you, man. Don't kid yourself. Don't think you can control it. Satan's been in this game a lot longer than you.
Long time.
Okay? And you've been in control, and you've been with friends for 18 years.
Yeah.
Mama's going to be in the bedroom. You're going to be 2 feet across, but you're going to be thinking about it.
And Andrew, you know, my wife actually, because I just got on Facebook probably about 3 or 4 months ago, reluctantly. And anyway, my wife is not on Facebook. But, you know, she said, you know, don't you be chatting, you know, with these women. I was like, baby, you know me. And she was like, I'm not worried about you. I worry about them. You know, basically they can, you know, they can see me with my little girls. And, oh, you got a beautiful little family, you know, and all that stuff. And then they start, you know. They can take my words. They can take my words.
They want their man to do.
Yeah, and they can take my words that I'm just saying, hey, how you doing? You know, they're just like, wow, Rodney's thinking about me. You know, they can just take that in a whole other direction.
See, a lot of times, we're dumb. We're thick.
Yeah.
Women, please don't take this wrong, but women are a lot schemier than guys.
Yeah.
Okay? They got ulterior motives, and we are just dumb as dirt.
Yeah.
And we will walk right into Satan's trap. And I don't care how smart you think you are. I don't know what the dude talking about. I'm going to have my friends. I hope we don't have to learn the hard way. But I'm going to tell you what. Satan's been playing this game a lot longer. And what starts to happen is you get bound in it. And you don't even see it. Okay? And there's a part of you that desires it.
And, Andrew, I understood what you said about the friendship thing. And the reason I say that you have to be mindful about who you have, you know, how many friends you have, women friends that you have, is because if you truly, 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 truly think about it, man, we all, the guys that are on here that are believers who follow Christ, you got to understand that walk is even that much more difficult because we do. And the fact that we're men who follow Christ, the anointing that we have in our life attracts us anyway.
Oh, you got that right.
So you have to be careful. Don't be stupid.
Don't be stupid. You ain't got no dick control. Be real. You ain't got no dick control.
Okay.
You're going to be thinking different. Am I lying?
Oh, yes, because, you know, we helping the hurting. And these people are hurting, and they come in there, and they're hearing a word from a man of God. And here it is, this brother.
That's a track.
And that's what the women seek after. They seek after somebody who knows God.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that makes it that much more of a problem. So Andrew's absolutely right about it. You got to be careful.
Yeah, especially being on this head of household. I mean,
hello.
Growing, you know, and it's like
a different
breed.
Looking at us and saying, that is the man, the kind of man I want.
Exactly.
Don't fool yourself to think they're not.
Yep.
Okay, they're thinking, man, that's the kind of man I want. And if Christine or if Sandra or if Tawanda or if Glenn screws up, I'm sitting there. They are thinking it. Don't even think they're not.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Say they better not mess up.
That's right.
I would be the clean-up woman.
Say that. Good
word. You said it. Okay, because like I said, guys are dumb and as dirt. Okay? And we come out and we go, I want some pussy. Okay, women ain't going to say that. She's going to be scheming. She'll be like, okay. Oh, yeah, you know, Sandra's my best friend. Tawanda, yeah, me and her kick it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, me and Christine, me and Glenn, we are cool. I'm all right. In the back of my mind, she's saying, girl, slip up, I am in.
You know it.
So
right.
If you think that's not true, dude, to think you got them those girlfriends for 25 years, hey, I saw a movie back in the day called When Harry Met Sally. If you haven't seen it, you got to watch it. It's an old movie, and he says, let me tell you something. Okay. Men and women can't be friends.
Right.
And the woman said, oh, yeah, I can be friends. I got all kind of guy friends. She said, yeah, you can, but they can't because they're trying to get in the panties. Okay? They're in the friend zone. This is what I tell my daughter. I tell all her friends. Okay? All these dudes that you think are friends trying to get into the panties. Oh, no, 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 no. I'm not thinking. I didn't say you couldn't be friends, but they can't be. Okay? They're in the friend zone because you put them there. Okay? If you gave them a shot, if you said, hey, you know, so-and-so, come on over here, and you know, our parents are home, I'm going to give you a shot. Would they say, oh, no, we just friends?
That man had to do in 5 minutes.
Damn right. And that doesn't change when dude is 17 or 27.
Yeah.
Okay? If girl dude. Came to dude that was friends for that long, don't tell me he ain't thinking about it. If he say he ain't thinking about it, he's lying.
Yeah.
Don't kid me.
All I was looking for when I was young was an opening. Just give me one little opening and it's on.
Yeah.
No way. As men of God, we may think different today, but we still got that seed that we got to fight.
Yeah.
Don't play the game. Don't put yourself in a position. See, I won't put myself in that position because my marriage is worth more than that.
Yeah.
Okay?
Word.
I can get a piece of pussy anytime.
Hello.
That's daily.
Okay? Yeah. And I'm just being real. Okay? And it ain't worth wrecking my marriage over a little piece of hot, you know, tail.
Yeah.
It's not worth it. It's not worth it.
Good words. All right, fellas. I think we've winded this thing down. Appreciate all y'all's input. Great call. And we'll do it again next week.
All right.
Yes, sir. Sure.
I'm in.
All right, fellas. Talk to y'all next Tuesday.
All right.
Good week. All right. Later.